and where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, 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 it's time. We all come together. Ha-ha! Barack Obama!
Yes, we can, yes!
Barack Obama!
We are ever
done!
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Galactic Roundtable. This is Beth, and Tara and Rama are here with me. I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day.
Greetings.
Greetings. And I would like to read you this piece that I pulled from a blog, and it's about Mother's Day. It's written by Julia Roberts Goad. I know that we as spiritual beings are coming into our mastery in a couple of things she states in a negative way, and we understand to love them more, but I think what she wrote is very well written. And I posted it with a picture of a soldier in his 20s who is wearing an American style uniform in Afghanistan. And he's carrying a child that looks like it's under 2 years old. It's covered in blood and it's wrapped in a blanket, and the blanket is saturated with blood. And the helmet on his head is bent over, and his head is touching the baby's head, and he's sobbing. And so I'd like to read to you what she has to say about Mother's Day. Wars begin in the minds of man, and in those minds, love and compassion would have built the defenses of peace. Mother's Day, second Sunday in May, set aside to honor the person who may be the most important influence in anyone's life, their mother. This is true regardless of the mother situation in a person's life. Even if there is not, or never was, a mother in our lives, that absence itself shapes who we are. The women who have helped mother us, the grandmothers, the aunts, the older women who were there when we were learning how to be a woman or how to live with and around women, are all honored for their mothering. Ministers will preach about mothers. Children will paint their palms and make starfish-shaped handprints on construction paper, breakfast in bed, pots of flowers, half-price buffet at Sizzler. This Mother's Day will be the first I have spent with no one to honor with a card and a box of candy. It will be strange, but it is life. My own mother had her first Mother's Day without her mother, as my children eventually will have theirs. Of course, the gifts and cards are great, especially the heartfelt ones. Breakfast cooked with our own children's hands. Cards with crayons stick mommies and children. But as the old corny cliche goes, what mothers really want is for their children to be happy, to grow to be well-adjusted, productive people who are happy with their lot in life, their jobs and their families, and who are good parents to their own children. It sounds cheesy, and it is, but that doesn't make it any less true. This sentiment is behind the original Mother's Day. The inspiration for Mother's Day is actually a cry from mothers for their children, specifically their sons. It was written by Julia Ward Howe in 1870, after the Civil War, a particularly bloody war, in which 700,000 mothers' sons died on battlefields and in other horrible conditions. Most were killed by other mothers' sons. The proclamation is not a sweet tribute to their children. It is not a noble ode to the men and boys who died for their country, who killed for what they believed in. It does not pay respect to soldiers and thank them for their sacrifice. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether our baptism be that of water or of fears. Say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our son to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe our dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left at home for a great and earnest day of council. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them then solemnly take counsel with each other as the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each bearing after their own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and of humanity, I earnestly ask that a general congress of women, without limit of nationality, may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and at the earliest period consistent with its objects to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, and great and general interests of peace. The woman who wrote this poem was angry. She was mad as hell at the waste of light, at the senselessness of war. She knew the sacrifice those sons had made and understood the sacrifice those mothers were being forced to make, and she was not prepared to do that. She knew it wasn't fair that mothers carried and gave birth to those children, loved them with their heart and soul, worked and sacrificed to turn them into men, only to have their sons taken from them. While I cannot fathom the loss women who lose their children to war live with, many millions of women live with it every day and have since the beginning of time. The women give what is most precious to them, their children. In today's world, of course, the circumstances of the loss are different. It is not just sons, but daughters. It is not only biological mothers, but mothers created by loving a child regardless of how it came into their lives. I personally think that includes the fathers too. But the sacrifice is the same. These mothers give their heart and are angry and call for it to stop, which of course has not happened yet, ever, and so is likely to continue. How could not stop war, just as the United Nations has not? The World Peace Prayer Society hasn't, nor has Yoko Ono. But what we can do as mothers, as women, and as human beings is to begin to diffuse the animosity our children feel toward those who would one day become their enemies. There is much to divide people today, just as there has always been. Each person feels they are on the side of right. Each child is raised with their parents' point of view and belief system. As parents, it is our job to teach our children what we know to be right and true. As this happens, children come into adulthood with different sets of values, each adamant in the certainty they are right. As mothers, we need to meet, if not literally, as Julia Howe pleaded, then meet with our hearts and minds with the purpose of ensuring our children do not ever cultivate the hate that makes war not only possible, but often inevitable. Mothers can teach tolerance, respect, and empathy. During a time in which our country, as well as the world, is becoming more and more splintered and animosity is growing exponentially, mothers, perhaps only mothers, can plant the seeds of peace in the hearts of our children. We can teach what we feel is right, along with the acceptance for what we don't agree with or we don't understand. Mothers can raise children who can coexist peacefully with those to whom they do not relate. We mothers will certainly never eliminate war, but while we cannot bring peace to the killing fields of the earth, let us create peace in the hearts of our children. Thank you. I pass the talking stick.
Oh my, Beth, what a story. Thank you. I gotta say, Miss Howe, she really says it well. And, you know, I was listening to Lakshmi Singh today on NPR talking about what's going on with Afghanistan and Iraq, and her voice was breaking up as she was talking, and she was just saying it's really time for this to be done in terms of Mother's Day. And this is the first time I heard Lakshmi Singh's voice break up on NPR.
Who's Lakshmi Singh?
She is a Sikh lady who reports the news on NPR nationwide.
Well, I'll tell you, it is time for this to end now. War no more. That was a promise that was made to me.
Yes.
Actually, Tom Hartman was talking about this on Friday. He was saying, you know, that, you know, honoring and protecting women and children is part of what the men have both the right and the obligation to do.
Yes.
Now, in other words, we've got to look at this a different way. And this is the way, how many ways are we saying this? When the darkness knows that it's been had, think about it inside of yourself. When you know that somebody's on to you and you did something, even when you were a kid and you did something that you knew that wasn't right.
That you messed with your brother or your sister.
Yeah, or stole a piece of candy, you know, in a locker in school from somebody else's pocket. I mean, these are things that seemingly are small things, yet because there is no teacher, no loving presence of mothering energy that would teach this. And remember, there are no fathers unless there are mothers in those fathers.
Right.
That means picking a man to be a teacher is already, you know, it is restricted in the sense of qualifications to that man, understanding that it's both a right and an obligation to protect the women and the children. That means a father going out to work for something that is set up intrinsically to defile the feminine, meaning going to work in any job the way it appears to be out there in governments all over the planet. And this morning, Lord Jamal put the string together in the sense that kept the circle complete. He said, government is the rule in the arms and the hands and the responsibility of the mother, not the father. And then I have an experience of living for 1 year with an East Indian family in Chicago, Illinois. And the Jain caste was the woman who she was from, and the Brahmin caste was the father. And this would have been killing people instead of having it happen in India. This is how far it has gone into the basement toilet when we look to Mother India. So what did we read about just the other day? We read about a little triangle that's right between Illinois and Indiana, and it's a Moabite triangle of the Ben Ishma El. And Ishma, Ishtar, Tara. What do all these words mean, lest we understand what they are symbolizing in 6,000 years of a cultural history of Hinduism, perhaps, or Taoism, perhaps in China, or Tibetanism? They did a major thing in 1977, everybody. The great invocation came in, and it came in a way in which, as at that time, Rajneesh, Osho now, in the latter years, Rajneesh in those years, this was on the same point of the 200th anniversary of the founding that our founding fathers did with this country. And we still don't know what happened there.
It's foggy. It's a bit gray.
Well, it's not, because Lord Jamal said they just kept it under the barrel.
well, it's only coming out now, and people are asking the questions, how come I wasn't told this 50 years ago when I was in school, or 60, you know, or 100 years ago?
He said, what the UCC does, Lord Jamal said this, what the UCC does, it defines who we are by our own taking back our power. And what the UCC does for those who don't, whether they know it or not, is it represents taking us back to 1789.
I'll tell you, not to change the subject, as I, back in the 60s, you know, into the 70s when I was in school, and I asked these questions, let's just say, public school. I ended up in the principal's office, and it was called insubordination, and at a certain point, the cops got involved because I was starting to ask politically correct questions about the fact that our story, our history, her story was not being told to us as students, and I was challenging the teachers. And it's interesting because this brings in the hard news. Obama talked today at a graduating class, or yesterday, 2010, and was talking about how teachers now are getting, you know, used as punching bags for different kinds of issues that are bringing up the hard questions where let's change the nature of reality with how we talk about stuff. And, you know, if you are a teacher and you start talking about civics, like the way Tom Hartman does, you find yourself fired or unemployed. And
well, you know, I was just thinking, Beth, you know, that this is Mother's Day, and there are many tears being shed today.
Too many.
And it is time. It is so time. And the thing is that it's time for now.
It's time for love.
It's time for those of us who have these tears in our eyes to wash them aside and realize that other people's tears and our tears are one.
Yeah.
And other people's apparent views, which are diametrically opposed to the viewfinder that we see, they're both one.
One of the big stories going on right now, Eric Holder is considering, well, maybe we're not going to give you some Miranda rights. We'll just send you to Gitmo Bay. Is it, you know.
Who's talking about that?
Eric Holder. It was on Meet the Press. They are saying.
Wait a minute. Calm down. I get the right tone of this. Is Eric Holder behaving on the good or the light or the dark
side?
What is he saying, and with what tenor and why?
It is about the fact the fake story going on in Pakistan tied with the Times Square bomber, where they are.
Oh, we know that. That was just something to distract from the
and
moment.
And the distraction's going further, where they are blaming Pakistan.
Oh, so they want to get in a war with Pakistan.
It is leading up to some of that, and they are trying to say, well, we might compromise some of your Miranda rights, where, in a sense, when you're stopped.
Who's Miranda rights?
People of the United States of America, where the cops say, you know, out of the car, up against the wall, and no questions asked, and you may find yourself an enemy combatant rather than being read your rights, which where you have the right to remain silent, that kind of stuff.
It's not passed in Arizona, yet we've got, see, let me just calm down right now. I was listening. We might need to talk to that lady because she's supposed to be singing today. This is her Mother's Day and ours together.
Yeah.
Mother, what is my mission? This is the moment when Hitler would be so delighted to play in with all of us.
That's right.
Tug on the past. Why don't we? because then we can go back over his story.
Right.
Instead of her story that has carried us all along. Because when we talk about that, now we can say that Dasaratha doesn't look like a white guy, you know, looking like Jesus. What it looks like is the true Moabite that we all are. And there are as many of us as there are on this planet. And there are more of us because there's 200 million civilizations. Do you understand that word, civil? I guess not. Because as Gandhi said, until you get it and really get it, when I say, what a novel idea, I didn't know the Western civilization had a civilization. And in a sense, until we are Moabite in every thought, word, and deed, and understand her story. This is the day it is. This is the commitment, I would say. It matters not the gender. Honor the mother in you that you came from.
The goddess.
And it is the one source, and her name is Zodiacus, Sekhmet, and a thousand other names for her.
Astarte, yeah, we can, oh my God.
As a matter of fact, the goddess Sekhmet has over 100 names, mm-hmm. and I would be delighted to read them, as it would be acceptable to all of us to listen to them on this Mother's Day. Is that something we would like? This is called the Invocation of Sekhmet.
Well, that would be great.
All right, everybody. As it was at Memphis, so be it now. Hear me. I beseech thee, O powerful one. Lady of Rechet, Lady of Pechet, Lady of Set, Lady of Rehesawi, Lady of Tichar and of Sehert, Mother in the horizon of heaven, in the boat of millions of years, thou art the great defender. Thou art overthrower of Ketu, Q-E-T-U. Preserve us from the evil chamber of the souls of Hesra. Deliver us from the abode of friends. Excuse me, the abode of fiends. O thou who art, Sekhmet, life giver to the gods, Sekhmet, lady of flame, Sekhmet, great one of magic, Sekhmet, eternal is thy name. O hear me now, Sekhmet, with lioness head. Sekhmet, whose color is red. Sekhmet, daughter of Ra. Sekhmet, consort of Ptah. Sekhmet, mighty is thy name. O hear me now, Sekhmet. Goddess of pestilence, Sekhmet, goddess of wars, Sekhmet, queen of the wastelands, Sekhmet, terrible is thy name. Oh, come to me, Sekhmet, destroyer of rebellions, Sekhmet, scorching eye of Ra, Sekhmet, protector, ruler, Sekhmet, holy is thy name. O, reveal thyself to me, Sekhmet, mother of the gods, capital G, Sekhmet, mistress of the crowns. Sekhmet, thou art called only one. Sekhmet, beloved is thy name. Possess me now, O great one. Sekhmet, greater than ice is. Sekhmet, greater than Hathor. Sekhmet, greater than Bast. Sekhmet, greater than Maat. Sekhmet, mysterious is thy name. I am lost in mystery, Sekhmet, preeminent one. Sekhmet, light beyond darkness. Sekhmet, sovereign of her father. Sekhmet, hidden is thy name, rapturous my dying. Lady of Amt, Lady of Manu, Lady of Sa, Lady of Tep-Neph, Lady of Heaven, thou art Ami-Seshet, Destroyer, Upholder, thou art the terror, before which beings tremble. Thou art lust, thou art life, ever burning one. Tekka haressa, pusarem ka karemet. Sefi per em hes hra ha pu tket. Mistress of enchantments, source and word of power, forbidden is thy name. I am the sealed one. Do not consume us with thy fire. Give us light. O lady mightier than the gods, adoration rises unto thee. All beings hail thee, O lady mightier than the gods. Reserved beyond death. That secret name, O being called Sekhmet, at the throne of silence, even shall no more be spoken than encircling one. I lose myself in thee. I pass the talking stick. I'm speechless at the moment. This is what I think we need today.
Thank you, Tara.
You're welcome, Lady Minister.
Big Will, are you still on the line?
Hello?
Hi, Big Will. Welcome. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, especially to Mother Sesnik. Mother, I would like to say I love you very, very much, and I know that you're listening, and we definitely do appreciate you assisting us each and every day throughout our lives. My question is to Rama. Rama, I understand you had a visit today with Lady Mastinata and Tom the Ringtail Cat. Could you please explain to the audience what was said today? I passed the talking stick.
Could you please repeat the question, Big Will?
Rama
I understand
was
that you visited with Lady Mastinata and Tom the Ringtail Cat. Would you share with us what was said today? I passed the talking stick.
Tom the Ringtail Cat is sitting with Dr. Stephen Bassett at the National Press Club, where they are talking about full disclosure.
Yes, sir, we both.
And I talked with the King and Lady Mastinata today, and they said both what is going on out there is we are in the final throes, death throes, of these dark, rebellious children of Mother. And they are going all out. They are leaving, kicking and screaming. And now, like I said before, Mr. Eric Holder is playing games with the idea of, compromising Miranda rights all based on false flag events. This ties in with the Pakistan story where, I will just say, Miss Bhutto is still alive. They killed a clone when they killed Miss Bhutto. She will be back to tell her story that has to do with Pakistan and the ISI and all of this tied in with Sybil Edmonds that goes back to the morning of 9/11. All of this has to do with that. And the issues at hand are such that on this Mother's Day, it is the understanding that we praise, respect, thank, and love all the feelings that are coming up wherever we are in the process of this at this moment. And at that level, Mother gets to step in neutrality, and the wisdom of Lady Master Mott and call things out on it in a sense where even Eric Holder as the Attorney General, if he is following two masters, he's going to have to give up one and follow the other.
We're really facing that, everybody.
Yeah.
In other words, what is our highest power right now? To decide. That's number one. You know, the decider needs to sit down and let's just take it internal. And that to decide is a new action now in a new day. And this is the next word. Collectively.
Change.
To change. And so Mother being the topic, I also just opened Mother Segment's book then. And I fell on this page. So it's just the end of the story of the All Fu, A-U-F-U. So I don't know if I can go ahead and just pick this up because it seems, oh, we have another caller.
I don't know if I answered your question yet. What I could say, Big Will, is that right now there are huge things going on this planet, and they are only giving us a half full glass, and it has to do with how the other half gets filled as Mother shows up with the empty hand, or if you will, the one hand clapping, and it has to do with the story of all of these life forms that, in a sense, the Nephilim, is that how you say it? Nephilim
I'm just guessing. I saw it spelled double E and then double E-E-M.
Nephilim. All of what occurred where when we as co-creator gods that were at the Elohi level, like Jor-El, Superman's father, and General Zod, I mean, I'm taking it to that level where we were gods. We are gods. We still are. And we have the ability to discern when someone's screwing with our heads. And you gotta come from your heart. Think with your heart, not with your head. And feel with the mind, the higher mind. And what is going on here is there's great distractions going on, as there are people right now talking about full disclosure at the National Press Club. And this has to do with exposing everything, and at the same time, all the earth-shattering events are continuing, quote-unquote, unabated. I heard stories today that most of the Gulf is filled with oil, meaning the Gulf of Mexico. And at the same time, it is also in the same light of what is going on is what is needed at this moment is direct divine intervention. Who is to say that isn't being already put into implementation?
Well, let me say a glimpse of what I as we're one body. Let's talk about the physical body. I was just glancing through this section. I gotta say. Yet it gave me the peace is that what Rama, what you did when you went in 1933 with your father Ashtar and represented what to do about this planet, Mother Earth, on her, you know, Mother Earth in all galaxies and all universes, all the way up until recently, and there's just barely hope right now.
You might say that
it was called the planet Sean.
Of sorrow.
Planet of sorrow. And we knew, and it was this quick, as soon as we conceived into the womb that we chose, we knew we were in for a ride. We certainly didn't know how long it was going to take every single time. And when we made that commitment to carry over, you know, like when you learn to add and subtract, carry over to a subsequent incarnation and another one and another one and another one, there's a certain point in the evolution of the soul where the soul perfects some things, and some souls even perfect just almost everything. And for at this point, there is this ever so tiny little speck, and it really bothers me because it's right in the ball of my foot every time I step down on something.
Yeah, it's like this little tiny.
And yet, it can debilitate you.
Oh, it can put you into a place where you've got two crutches and you're holding your foot up.
And when we were listening to Swami Purna, he talked about doing austerities.
Right.
In periods of civilization's development without death.
Mm-mm.
And doing them for sometimes tens of years or hundreds of years in order to offer that ability up to send strength where strength is needed, to send persistence and unconditional love and courage and healing and all of these things that the power of the one positive.
You might call it sadhana, and at that level, sadhana is your mission. What you chose when you read the fine agreement, fine print along with the agreement
now,
that the mission.
Now, there was really no fine
the
print.
The promise.
The promise didn't have any fine print.
No, it was clear and legible.
We humans, with our little conniving selves, you know, with the spark of mischievousness, wow, I mean, we really got a dose of I'm Curious George, everybody. That book, I mean, I read it to my kids. And it's about George Bush Jr. No, George Bush Sr., excuse me.
George H. Scherf
Jr.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
Mr. about... Mr. Scherf Sr. was Nikola Tesla's accountant.
Okay, that little speck on the ball of my foot.
Yeah.
That's Hitler.
That's right.
And in other words, the comprehension of time as we know it ceasing, that little speck disappears. As it, in this point, ceases to cease, the consequences become rapidly major. And the erratic behaviors that we are watching as the throes of the dark shenanigans at the last moment, that irritation is causing them to limp. And even to the point where literally Karl Rove ran in terror last week from a woman citizen who had some handcuffs and was ready to do a citizen's arrest, and his bodyguards stepped aside.
That's right.
Now, what we want to know, what you want to know about that, is that those bodyguards are white knight double agents that got in there and did that and scared the living, ever living, loving daylights out of that. What became of him?
Oh
my. Please. What became of him? I'm imagining that is an indication right now of what is becoming of all of us, even with that little ball of my foot irritation on me and on you and on all of us, which is on the brink of life and or death in terms of what love needs, as Stevie Wonder said, right now is more love.
Right.
When in doubt about how much we are loved. And our sister Deanna, we lived with her, and I would burst out in tears no matter how many times she would say it. She would look when I was going through something, she'd say, Tara, dear, you have no idea how much you are truly loved.
Right.
And in other words, I think of that Four of Cups in the Tarot and the knights, the young white knights, and he's in a kind of contemplative mode sitting under a beautiful tree in Avalon somewhere, a youth like Arthur was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking at all these, there are three cups that he's
contemplating.
He's looking at his experiences and all that he's gained, yet there is something that he's not seeing. And that's that little thing in the ball of the foot. And it's just the answer. And it's not in the purview. And so that is where poetry opens the heart. And that's where reading with the poetry of mother love coming through your voice, that, in other words, we have all the self-healing mechanisms we could ever imagine and more, and love is beckoning us to use the more. I love you more. Everyone. I love you more. Thank you, Beth, for your commitment for all of us to loving us together now more.
Thank you.
That is something that has yet to be completed in terms of the mission of how governance is transferred now. And this morning, again, Grand Goddess Forestine this morning said this. She said, between her and Grand Goddess Lily, I'm so sorry, said that there is two things that the Moabite Nation have in terms of their governance, is that it must be women. And the tribunal is one body, and the council of nine is the other body, where they're all women. Now, let me understand this for you in the terms of the choice in this dimension as of an experience in a female body and an experience of a male body has been had by many. Although the brotherhoods and the sisterhoods of light in the teachings would volunteer to come in with balance, right, and neutrality with the law of the one within whichever body they serve through on the ground. So I could not understand for the longest time when our 93-year-old I Am Sanctuary lady friend, what was her name?
Oh, Mary.
Mary.
Just Mary.
Mary. She was close to her life transition.
That's right.
Yet she would always say that there were two male masters, ascended masters, that were twin flames.
Yes.
The two male masters we're talking about are Lord Kutumi and El Moria, correct?
Correct.
Okay. El Moria and Archangel Michael, and remembering that all the archangels are one with the source, our mother energy, our feminine, are these energies of antimatter of which the source that we are co-creators with, mother, lives in us now. And everything that has been conceived of as linear, which is defined as his story, points on a linear timeline, which has not only been changed a million times and disagreed upon and with intention of miscreations being made of that change by the Vatican, Pope Gregory the 23rd, is that right?
Yeah.
Who created that Gregorian liturgical calendar, Roman calendar that we use to this day, which is, as we said, it was a miscreation of time. And so this morning, again, that I didn't know some of these things. The word Christian, when we understand the meaning of the word, I just about fell over. Where was that? Said that. There's somebody on the call. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Earl on line A1. Sorry it took so long.
Hi, Tara, Rama, and Beth. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I found two things on Dictate. One, there was another earthquake in Sumatra, 7.8, I believe, and there was a disaster in Russia's largest coal mine, an explosion. 12 are confirmed dead.
I did see those stories out there, and Aceh is the place where there was an early tsunami warning, and I don't know what's going on. That was that same place where that we had...
That's where on the 26th of December in 2006.
Mr. Bush.
I just thought they're throwing some hard news there.
Pardon?
I just thought they're throwing some hard news there.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, thank you, because these stories are going on.
What was exactly said now? There was
a tsunami warning, and there was a small earthquake.
And 12 are dead from the so-called small earthquake.
I think possibly.
Is that what you said?
No,
there was an earthquake in Sumatra.
Oh,
another one. They had one before, now they had another one with 7.8, I believe.
7.8 in Sumatra?
That's what it said.
Oh, my. That's not so small.
That isn't small. Do they have any more news, or did that just happen, or what?
What I heard was that it was a 7.2 earthquake, and following that, they put a tsunami warning, but that turned out not to be a danger, and so the tsunami warning has been lifted, and I haven't heard news regarding what the damages were.
Yeah.
So there's no idea if it was close to the surface or anything like that.
Not that I have heard. And the people that died were in a accident that happened in Russia in a mine, the 12 people that died.
Their largest coal mine.
Their largest coal mine. It is just proving that we have to stop extracting coal from the mother. It is part of her body, and we don't need to burn it to get warm. There's other ways how to create heat.
The reticence is about money again, right?
Yeah, correct.
Don't people know how to rub two sticks together and get work together, you know?
Well, they need some lessons, Earl, about
anyway, next. I'll pass the talking stick.
Thank you.
Indeed, Commander.
Yes, it is.
This isn't about what they know or not. I mean, you know, our children know more than we do about everything.
And I watched a honey one time take a quartz crystal, a clear quartz crystal like the Marcel Vogel crystals, and she said some words, and they were in Cherokee, the language.
Who?
Dahani.
Okay.
And she started a fire where we were camping out, and she just pointed the crystal at the fire, and it burst into flames. And, you know, all she did was, you know, repeat the Cherokee words with the focus of the crystal. And, I mean, there was, you know, when you got to get warm, you got to get warm. I passed the talking stick.
Are we complete on that part? I lost my page. There's a place where we learn that we have more than one body.
Right.
And this is what this is about, the psycho-spiritual exercises of the fifth way. And we're quite experienced in the third way, 3D way. And there's been a merger, ready or not, in the third
dimension.
It's 2 o'clock. Ready or not, with the fourth dimension, and it merged in 1987 at Harmonic Convergence. If you really want to see a shift and the meaningfulness of it, is that all fourth dimensional beings, that means all the undeads, all the undead ones, all the closets, all the skeletons, were in everyone's face energetically and for real. And people were having experiences that were basically at a threshold of infiltration. And the light made a decision to counter. And that was in 1990. And the reason for it was because as we said on the 1st of October, is always the first of the next year. So each year that we got closer to 1992 at that time, that was the last 2 years of a 100-year agreement made by the bankers in 1892. The Bankers Manifesto dictated, and that UCC was in there. And that's been going on ever since 1789. That's when the corporation that took over commerce and everything with the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, making you a slave of the sea law and on the land and sea, and taking it for a small elite. And that was George Washington. In a sense, he represented the trader of the Wichita. Washington is a derivation of a spelling of Wichita. Washita, Washinta. There's one that's even W-A-S-H-I-N-T-A-U.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's W-A-S-H-I-N-G-T-O-N. These are all derivations, and they have meaningfulness. And never mind the character. Never mind the personality now. This is a play where deceit is the intention of the dark side from the very beginning. And as we understand that it is a courageous move to decide to walk in, through, around, and walk in the light. And manage to, you might say, spy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Spy for the light. And the first spy for the light and the last one is inside self. In terms of this story can never end until we understand that we are the final punctuation at the end of the sentence. We end it. And that was what they were talking about here in terms of the different bodies. The nature of our beings is so awesome, and the intention of darkness is so degrading at this point, and it's been genetically altering. And that intervention that we represent now as spies for the light is so filled with love right now that even as we see through a glass dimly,
yeah,
that, and we can see all the little boogers, and it matters not where it comes from. We are experiencing a reflection. Every one of us is a reflection of every other one of us. This is the meaning of holography. Our bodhisattvic vow has to do with volunteering to discipline and administer, to teach and to facilitate in love, in gratitude for every opportunity to be able to do that. And to make sure that gratitude is understood for everything that is placed before us as four-fifths of the love that we ever conceive of or administer. And we always ask for more understanding so that the gratitude can increase. And literally, don't let the light go out.
This is why Rainbird says all the time, I am grateful for my life right in this moment to be witnessing this.
And in the teachings there is this Jane Caston living for a year with this beautiful woman and her consort, and it would never have happened. She would have been killed. And I mean, the caste, the Jain caste, is a higher class. It's the merchant class. That's the class that free trade in India went after in terms of political favor. And, you know, there are things that happened by that and with that interference in that civilization that are still and yet possible to break over here. And so they were able to know that they could get to Chicago and raise their children and get married and get both of them PhDs from the University of Chicago and teach what they came from and how the West can possibly show from the experience they had how this could be rectified and that they're a living example. Okay, now we're teaching in classroom settings here where we're not just doing East and West, yet we're doing four corners. We're learning the power of how we are patterning our lives, and we're learning with some intelligent mind and some intelligent heart that whatever challenge a person is in, unaware, due to trauma, and this is 99.9% of the conditioning, it is a dichotomy to see a man such as Bill Clinton, for instance, with, you know, approximately the highest genius code of his IQ registered in any given moment on a planet, with this ego that was like Curious George in his own way.
Right.
Just had a different program assigned to that intelligent mind, of which was Hitler's seed. What would we do to bring that to reality?
And this brings in that concept with the founding fathers when they set up this nation, you know, and there were arguments. Is humanity inherently good or is humanity inherently evil? And the majority of the founding fathers that set up the I Am nation here knew this humanity was inherently good. And it is about the light winning at this time. This is why there is such a great struggle going on. And Mercury, the King of Swords right now, Mercury retrograde has been a bitch on wheels. And you could say it's been one of the worst. Yet at the same time, it is bringing everything into focus as we move forward with full disclosure. That's what I could say on the matter. And Dr. Bassett and all these people from Paradigm Research Institute aren't just in the National Press Club for their health right now. This is big. A lot bigger than fake stories about Pakistan and Taliban and Al-Qaeda and fake wars on terror and opium poppies and more black op money to kill children.
Okay, now we don't have to go over those anymore in the sense that we...
Yeah.
Okay, let's just bring it this way. Knowing our history deeper and knowing the deeper spiritual mission and knowing that the great Mother Sekhmet, would never want this universe of creation to die.
No.
That she would, she promised. And that we would serve her in order to heal this, in other words, mother energy. Always, always, always. And of course, we had the biggest barrier when government was taken over by male and religion was taken over by male. And we were going to have to do the whole 9 yards. And so I do, since I see an open space here, I'm going to read a little bit about the Aufu, A-U-F-U, And it's called the physical body. And Rama's going to try to cue up. Rama, are you going to? He's going to try to see if he can cue up. What's it called again? Capitalism, a love story, everyone. So we can all really hear this energy that this spiritual being has really embraced us with, what kind of love he puts in his work. Okay, the Aofu, the physical body. As mentioned, the Aofu is the physical body, A-U-F-U, with its muscles and bones, blood and internal organs, glandular and nervous systems, the body that anatomists and physiologists describe. Of itself, it is a mechanical thing, a machine which, for all its awesome potentials, is propelled by mechanical functions, instincts, biological derives, sensations, and a limited number of learned responses and behaviors. It is operated by the brain and the nervous systems, and for it to exist and to be alive, only minimal brain function and a brain of very small size would be required. This body is human only by virtue of its unnecessarily large and for its quite superfluously complex brain. And of course it links with the four subtler bodies and souls, plural. The Aofu lacks consciousness in any higher sense of the word, and its functioning is meaningful only to the mind of the Ka, which, without special re-education, misinterprets it as it is its own behaviors, thoughts, and feelings. Let me read that again. The Aofu lacks consciousness in any higher sense of the word, and its functioning is meaningful only to the mind of the Ka, which without special re-education misinterprets it as its own behaviors, thoughts, and feelings. The Ka is related to a slumber state inside the body. So it's okay. The Aofu can sense, and as well it can feel, and it can feel pain and pleasure. Yet its sensing and feeling are so distorted by the Ka, which transmutes them into its own images, that their actuality is rarely any major portion of the contents of consciousness. The Aofu is thus falsified by the Ka, which in turn is misled into thinking that it freely governs the voluntary functions and actions of the Aofu. Now, the thing is, everybody, that's why we say think with the heart. Leave the brain-mind function connection alone. Make it the heart-mind connection. Think with the heart. And this will help you guide the body rather than the guide of the body's emotionalism running you over. This situation can be remedied only as by appropriate and strenuous means. The Ka is taught to differentiate itself from Aofu, and also attains to a sufficiently accurate sensing, internal as well as surface, of the physical body. All of the subtler bodies and their minds have powerful effects upon the Aofu. Their experiences can affect every part of it. And those experiences, as very vivid or prolonged, are not distinguished by the brain from the realities of its own world. This is what's happened to everybody on the earth right now. The brain then brings about changes in parts and functions of the body, as though these were responses to the body's own experiences. The Haidit H-A-I-D-I-T, or shadow, capital S, within us, is the only subtle body-mind which naturally possesses a good contact with and knowledge of the Ao-Fu, the physical body, meaning it can positively or negatively affect the physical body with equal facility. That means you can actually hurt the whole of the body of humanity by hurting any part of your own body. They understand that we all experience it together as a kaleidoscope, as a holographic oneness. The Ka once had such contact and capacity, yet it has long since been lost. The shadow can be understood as being roughly what is usually meant by the unconsciousness, and appeals can be made to it to alter the Ao-Fu along desired lines. An example of this would be to hypnotize the Ka, to establish contact with the high deep, and then suggest to it that it utilize its special knowledge and relation to the body to, say, dispose of a wart or a tumor, or to increase or decrease blood flow to a particular part. Most effective hypnosis is a dialogue between the hypnotist and shadow, aimed at achieving certain changes in the Ao-Fu, the Ka, or the Haidit itself. The mindless Ao-Fu, the mindless body, cannot effectively survive in the contemporary world and must minimally be tended and cared for by the Ka. Or, as the personal Ka is too feeble or deranged by other persons, they must be cared for. However, although it is a machine, even the most ordinary of these has unused potentials, which are enormous and far in excess of what can be made use of by even the most developed and most knowledgeable person. Since it is essential to the life of the whole person, reason would dictate that it be well cared for and efforts made to use it well. However, the Ka and the Haidit frequently behave toward it as though the Ao-Fu were their mortal enemy. Also, as it were unworthy of being brought into the kind of awareness that would allow its potentials to be much better used. The Ao-Fu, especially its brain, is the essential foundation upon which rests the structure of the whole person. Whatever his or her powers may be, yet it is always in varying degrees, badly fed, poorly exercised, little known, inadequately used, while at the same time it is subjected to abuses which, as done to someone else, would constitute torture and deliberate destruction. No human being can be found who dies a natural death, in the sense that his body parts wear out uniformly. The man who dies naturally is self-destroyed, killing himself by means of barely conscious behaviors, which are largely products of unconscious processes and non-human forces. The ancient Egyptians, as depicted in their paintings and sculptures, are the only known civilized people displaying an adequate knowledge of and regard for the healthy and well-functioning physical body. The bodies they almost universally depict are graceful and light, well-positioned in gravity, able to make use of directed energies which give access to strength, in the absence of excessive muscular development, in the absence of successive muscular development. Obviously, the body image is intact. Awareness of body mechanics is present. And mind and body are in harmonious, mutually supportive interaction. Already with the Greeks and in the ancient Far East, although to a lesser degree, art tells us that some of these elements were lost or were never present in the first place. With the Egyptians, Aufu and Ka are differentiated in awareness, integrated in function. Moreover, with them, the Hadith was in a superior, though far from perfected relation to both Aufu and Ka. Add to this the knowledge, add to this the awareness of some persons of the higher subtle bodies as well, making possible interaction with the Neters, capital N-E-T-E-R-S, and one uncovers basic secrets as to why the Egyptian civilization lasted so long and produced so much that even today is unrivaled. The Aufu is a machine operated by its brain under the influence of the subtle bodies and their minds. Yet it is also a machine with a brain that is influenced from within its own and subtle bodies by the non-human forces of cosmos and chaos, capital C, capital C. These entities are in all the bodies, although as the bodies become more subtle, they tend to be less congenial to chaos, capital C, and more congenial to cosmos. At the levels of Aufu and Ka, however, the chaotic entities preponderate unless they have been exercised, E-X-O-R-C-I-S-E-D, or those bodies seeded with a greater number of their cosmic antagonists, magical spiritual operations, which are a part of the work on oneself at the conscious Khu, K-H-U, and Sahu, S-A-H-U, levels. In the Hadith, the antagonistic forces are in most persons better balanced, so that it is the arena of the greatest conflict. This is the middle ground, and upon the higher ground of Khu and Sahu, the balance shifts toward order, capital O. Mother, divine order. Because of the potency of the demons in the gross Aufu, it always sickens and dies much earlier than it might do otherwise. Even conscious work by the Khu and the Sahu can only delay for a time this outcome. For the same reason, demonic dominance, the Ka, which survives the Aufu, rather quickly degenerates. This is a discussion on different levels of possession of something else other than who we are. And that's a compassionate place that one must always, unless has walk in that shoe, forgive. And any place in any whole of any part of any of the aura of the one beingness that we are as one humanity. Mother, on this Mother's Day, I accept my mission now with this work together as yours. And through me and all that I breathe, live, and think and say, may this be the law of the land of Moabite, the land of the Black Madonna and her teachings for her humanity, her creation. And it is done for the highest good of all concerned in the way it needs to be. And to happen here, I say it is done, and so be it. In the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, to the power of the cosine of Judah, times 10,000, times 10,000, times 10,000, physically manifest, physically manifest, physically manifest, now. A whole metaphysics. 13 thank yous, honey in the heart, no evil. The Egyptians labored mightily to prevent this degeneration of the Ka, yet their efforts could at best delay it. Chaos in the Al-Fu, in the physical body, works incessantly to achieve its debilitation and death, which cosmos opposes. So long as humans remain at the level of the mechanical Al-Fu and sleepwalking Ka, just so long will they remain destructive to themselves and to both their subjective and objective realities. To awaken a major goal of every magical, spiritual, or magico-spiritual system is to break through and out of that level of non-awareness at which one's life is determined through the body's misuse by the unconscious. Even awareness and intelligent use of Al-Fu, Ka, and Hayyit would affect the most remarkable positive changes in all of humankind. The fulfillment of humanity's potential, however, implies an aware participation also by the Ku and the Sahu bodies integrated with the others. That's just a little piece from the goddess Sekhmet, Psycho-Spiritual Exercises of the Fifth Way. My intention for reading this was to show how everything that we are learning about Moabite, everything we are learning about Mother, are one. And those five principles, now six, of which we are learning, which is of the nature of her humanity, meaning of all ones in human existence with their divinity. These are the nature of her humanity. And it comes in the order of love first. And this chaos in the body, we read that piece from Swami Purna's book, precisely for the reason of awakening ourselves again to those teachings which we may have not remembered, that it's been so long. Yet, as we are now aware that a physical body without all of the aspects and all of the knowledge, how many of us are aware that there are more than one mind level going on and more than one body going on, and that one can be, you know, in contrariness to another, meaning out of kilter, and all of these things being met with a larger situation where everything is out of kilter. And hope is something that has been waning in a certain way in terms of all of this part of us as a humanity, realizing that the matriarchy, the matriarchal society, that the women are now the ones that are to hope with the return of balance through matriarchal society now coming into being right here on planet Earth right now. And I'll just say that the number here is area code 415-762-1161. And Lady Master Beth, I pass the talking stick.
Thank you very much, Tara.
Thank you.
I don't know if Rama wants to share those videos or not. I don't know the status. He was going to be looking at the X conference stuff too.
Come down here. Are we ready for?
Well, I'm trying to. I've been trying to find it, and it's only in a Winamp file, and I don't know how to play it on here.
Well, what about up there?
I have to talk to Martin because what's going on is it keeps stopping in the middle of it. And there's something like maybe I downloaded a corrupted copy.
In other words, it won't be happening today.
Yeah, because I got to buy it.
Technical mishap.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. The X conference, what they're talking about there, just looked at, they were talking about some pretty serious stuff in terms of different kinds of Delta Force Navy SEAL type missions.
Activities already going on, you mean?
Or that have occurred in the past concerning downed craft and recovered people. And how things get spirited away, and a story comes up, like the one, you know, like on the Sci-Fi Channel called Eureka. What can I say? It's at a certain place where the stories have to be told, and I think there's a lot of folks risking life and limb right now at that X conference telling, you know, their very details of what's happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I can continue where I left off last night. I also have something very good about forming a matriarchal society in order to return to balance. And this does, I mean, my heart, let's just say it's the be still and know that I am God feeling that together on a day like this that can re-nourish me with that kind of love that Mother has. And, I mean, as Mother's available, too, we could also love that, wouldn't we?
Sure.
And whatever we have on our hearts, unless we learn how to love with divine love, with divine wisdom, with divine compassion, with divine understanding.
Like Daniel Pinchbeck talks about going deeper.
Well, that whole reading that I was on,
yeah,
that's what it was saying. It was saying without that higher understanding and how to access it in the moment. In the moment, as the debilitation of the body over 13,000 years is at extinction point, literally, in terms of the natural law being applied consciously by the masses. And that's what we have been looking toward awakening. And the preparation now for those who are ready now to leave or not is being made. That's why we're hearing about these White Knight missions.
Mm-hmm.
These are for real. And as was said to us by that Irish lady from Ireland on Rachel Meadows' Beth, what's her name again?
Oh, Sinead O'Connor.
She said, you know, our media takes no prisoners. And the King of Swords has always been said to be the ones, you know, the Delta Force, the Navy SEALs. Chris Story even said it. He said they take no prisoners.
Yeah.
And there's no way to escape.
I mean, I could.
No way to escape. Yet, now there's one piece still and yet remaining. And that is, there's no way to really escape from love.
No.
And the more that we surrender to that higher choice of praising, respecting, and thanking with divine love, try it, it works. And really, don't try it. Know that that's the only place that you really is. That is the real you. The body was given in a co-creation by all of us, to us, as we experience now. And we would not forget that love has no opposite. There is only ecstatic bliss. There is no opposite.
Mm-mm.
It's the central force. It's mother. It's zero. It's 0 point. And out of mother comes number one, the body, the alfu. Has nothing to do with the gender. It has to do with the active principle of creation. And the body is the result of an active principle of co-creating this body together. And this is a good thing to look at. When we say I, are we speaking about something that's not really me? Unless we are speaking about the mighty I Am presence, which is our divinity, and making use of our expression through our higher heart, we are something else. That I isn't the I, that I am. And as soon as that emotion, which registers as less than, shows up, you know that what's coming is a gift of love. And that you know they never said this would ever be easy.
No.
As a matter of fact, Ashtar came right through when Rama and I were in the room for the first time with the channeling and said, we never said that would be easy.
No.
And that's why I'm here right now in this room saying hats off to you, because you said you'd do the groundwork on this one. And we said we would back you up. We also said we would not intervene. As I can't pass, you might say, I would not be passing the talking stick. You know, as a matter of speaking, Ashtar was saying, I would only be passing the talking stick on to those who want to do this. And you guys already volunteered. You're on the ground. Whether you remember or not, whether you want to accept that or not, which means that we volunteer no matter what to love love and the living of love more than we ever thought we had. What we are breaking through is limitation. Limitation has been the illusion.
That's part of the matrix.
Limitation has to do with I am mother. When mother says I am this force, this central force, there's more to it than meets the eye in terms of the eye, the central force eye, of the eye of Horus on your frontal lobe, everyone. There's actually an opening, as we were already saying, right between your brows, right above your nose bone. Yet there's another opening right in your mid-forehead. And then there are two more openings at your temples on both sides of your face. And then you have two more openings in the left and right hemispheres of your brain. And they are located near and approximate to where the fontanelle, which is that soft spot where the hemispheres, ordinarily the bones meet and then the bones meld, and then there is a solid hardness there. And on the case of my beloved, there is nothing of the sort going on there. And it's also interesting because he came out feet first, which is very interesting. And that this opening to the mother energy, in spite of the gift that he was asking for, of setting right what he did by dishonoring and disrespecting the mother energy, as the mother energy that he was being birthed through was the same Eva woman that he was consummating a sexual act. And it was called what? Non-intervention in a civilization's development. Rama was not supposed to do that because Rama was of galactic nature. And it just so happened that the ship of 144,000 crashed and ended up below the Great Pyramid of Giza to this day, along with tons of light workers who are here with amnesia, complete, total amnesia. And it's so terrifying to come close to that they literally connect that with Nibiru, which is Mother's planet, in antimatter, from whence we all traveled. And that experience of Mother was too terrifying to a certain level. It just went into amnesia. And as many lifetimes as this reincarnational pattern has been going on, this was what the concern was. This is why they wanted to call up Lord Kryon in the demolition derby and just put this green gas all around the planet and just everybody go to sleep and start over and create a new swarm. And this is why Rama said, please, in behalf of all of humanity, please, I beg of you, please, as the role that I want to be responsible for, I want you to give all of humanity a chance to come with me. And literally, come with me. He said that. He said, I'm representing, I trust all of humanity that much. No matter how much they don't seem to think they trust each other, no matter how much they're blind, I can see and I am willing, even if I'm the only one, I am willing to show up here and say, please, give peace a chance. Give love a chance. Give humanity a chance to bring peace and love to this planet. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay. And Lady Master Nada said, I'll be back too.
That's right.
And she came back. And I actually met Lady Nada before you. Rama actually met the King of Swords before me.
Yeah.
And here we are. And the King of Swords and Lady Master Nada are twin flames. The King of Swords is actually, in reality, who is he? He is the seventh energy of the initiation in a body of experience of a soul, which is called Sananda Kumara. What does this mean? It means there have been six ensoulments before this seventh one. It doesn't mean that he would be the only one, yet he would have a special mission. He would have a very, very important mission, because what this man with the plan, with this template now in this time-space continuum would have to finish, which was what wasn't finished. What wasn't finished at the time of the temple and the Pharisees? And what did he do to those money changers? He went into a tirade. He destroyed everything. He took the entire temple down.
Yeah.
And everybody in there died. And, you know, for reasons of evolution, we were going to be left holding that bag. And we would have to embrace the office of the Christ. And the difference between calling oneself a Christian and the office of the Christ is the opposite of the office of the Christ. All of it. As without knowledge of what your energy is being used for and what these words mean and what this mindset has been programmed not to be, that state of mind is the antithesis to Christianity in its true sense. And again, Shania said, the Vatican and their behavior of disrespect toward the body, whether it's a boy or a girl, is still disrespect toward mother, since this humanity is her, you know, her humanity. So the hope is in people. The hope is here in every soul. The hope is that we will do what we can do to create an economic spirit. And let's relate economics to the land, please. You might call the use of energy something that economics has been sorely not reflecting upon. So we talk about making a much smaller footprint on the energy that we choose and the lifestyle that would go with that. And as we already know, that there is free energy that Nikola Tesla had 100 years ago, that these guys intentionally sat on it and made sure not to allow that energy to become into the planet. Okay, then the justice must equal that. And that is what it says in Revelations. It says in Revelations that these ones will meet a violent end. And the idea is that in our presence, where it appears that these guys are causing more and more unnecessary incidents, unnecessary death, harm. And knowing that, we ask, and Rama asked in our behalf, please let us do this. Have faith that the people will come together, that they will realize that they can't do this by themselves, that we will come to the place of understanding that no one person would ever succeed in healing anything without every one of us. And that means every one of us. It's in every one of us to be wise. That means naturally. It means wisdom of how to be the caretakers, the gardeners of the domain of wisdom. That wise dome. That wise dome, as we had and as we are the ones that bring it back by asking, by seeking the dome of the xenon gas over the planet to come back. That dome of xenon gas, how do we get that into our beings? By asking.
That's our divinity,
because we are divinity, and we have literally promised to live by the limitation of what is going on in 3D, and to teach what can be done to heal it. And we knew that 3D needed a big healing. And we knew it to the extent that our hearts wanted to do it, yet our walking, our talk would have to follow. And the seed of our soul was the hope for her humanity to heal. And that seed of the soul is her in the body. And it is balance. It's that point whereby we create a matriarchy again, where we just bring back what is also already very clearly, even in this fraudulent document, which was merely just misused to such a great extent in full face in front, for us to praise and respect and thank and love, as polarity would only heal when we realize that there is no separation, that there is no such thing as mine, mine, and mine. And that's why the first teachings of the Essene, of the Gnostic Nazarene Essene consciousness, of the Moabite people, of Yeshu, and of every prophet ever before or since, same Moabite people, same humanity, her humanity, that we literally turn this around by being it. And the framework with which we are in right now of being it has arrived. And little guy network, let us make it ours. May it make it our Mother's Day gift to the earth, that we use this vehicle to bring the things that a mother would bring to all of her children, that we gather and bring money together with, as Beth put up there, she's got all these Star Trek people. I can't remember what megabyte or byte what. Beth, you can speak for that part of it. She put up a very blatant thing on the front of the internet, on the front of the Galactic Round Table, which ought to make our hearts sing. I mean, Rama, when you were a kid and your mom wanted you to be and your dad wanted to be the doctor, you said, no, I am going to be a starship captain.
Yeah.
In other words, this little one knew exactly that was his mission. Who's the captain on the bridge of the New Jerusalem?
Ashtar.
And who's he to you, dude?
My father.
Okay, so what are we doing to honor the mother? We're having Ashtar's son sharing his ability with us of bringing mother into the room with us, into this virtual community, world planetary community, enabled also by these beautiful beings that are sitting in the studio at BBS Radio, who are so much in the same vein, in the same wavelength, that the kind of joy I'm having doing this with you guys and everybody here is beyond any kind of thing that I might want to conjure up. And that would be my wish for me as Mother's Day, as we could all do this piece, that we would conjure up a way to use the Little Guy Network to have fun exactly like we're having on this radio show, because we're going to only enjoy now with the purpose that we end homelessness on this planet, that we end hunger on this planet, thirst. And we mean on every level. There's such a thing as hunger and thirst for justice sake. And a church is supposed to be supposedly a sanctuary where a person could be safe, when the church has been the last place to be safe on earth. And it also means circus, as Lord Jamal mentioned. Church means circus. Now, so you're going to a
church. Church means circus?
That is right. And it means that when we go to church, we're being entertained and leaving money.
Oh, my God.
It's actually being taken in service to Satanism. And that is a fact. And that is not what the true office of the Christ is. It's a violation. It's an abomination of desolation.
Reverend Billy's been telling the truth. I mean, yeah.
Yes, he is. And we have a duty. This is another thing Lord Jamal said. We have a duty to go back to those churches and to tell them and to teach them and to get up there and speak in any way possible. And he mentioned some groups, Mahalia Jackson would come in a church, and she would just sing her truth. And everybody forgot what the preacher said. Nobody forgot the sound of Mahalia Jackson singing her song.
No.
This is what we must do. And we must not attend anything that isn't doing that. And I mean in business, I mean in work, I mean in play. And I mean in prayer, in service, in anything we do to join together anywhere. And that would mean change. Most of us have very little avenue to actually be in this mode, in the society, in the town. And in the rural areas, it's probably the worst. Even though everybody appears to have their flowers and their grass and their trees and every kid's going to school, apparently everyone's in the rigid society setting of appropriateness. When the energies behind the scenes in the politics has murdered one of the 14 writers of the Nassar Bill, Paul Wellstone, whereby a representative, clone or not, of Bill Clinton, called Bill Clinton, participated with Hillary in the murder of Paul Wellstone. These things are the things we must know. They are the brutal truth. Yet our revenge policy has been our worst enemy. And we are supporting churches that tell our mothers to send their children to their death via being war machine, getting jobs with the oil industry. These things appropriately must, in the meantime, right now, have no mean time of continuing. Whatever has been done at the highest level has been done. It's 3 o'clock. Has been done so that we at this level can actualize it. In other words, the King of Swords is saying, in this sense, it's time to grow up. And Grand Goddess Lily is saying it. Lord Jamal says it every Sunday in one way or another. It is time to grow up. We have our golden opportunity. They have staved off the wolves and the demons. And now only our wolves and demons, and more that we completely from the wounds of the past view to be being built as the moment goes by in every moment rather than separation issues. we are being asked to grow up. And what does that mean? In an age of reason, it would mean that everybody would behave. In an age of chaos, which we were just reading, where nobody's behaving, in general, would require those of us who are in this small group to cognize how to love another into a place of balance. In other words, to find the space in ourselves, even in the face of that slap in the cheek, to turn the other cheek, to discern what and how to receive this as a gift first. The embodied reflex action would be to take your fist and punch the lights out from wherever that slap came from. And 99.9% of the time, it's merely a conditioned response from a place that has nothing to do with divine love, divine wisdom, divine contemplation. Contemplate action before taking them. Therefore, a stitch in time shall save nine. And that means not sometimes, every time. It is never about us, the me. It is about a feeling of the lack of the we that an individual me may not be seeing, that would be perpetrating from that faulty viewfinder upon another. In a Mercury retrograde time, this exudes itself as words taking on whatever the trauma that prompted those words, wherever the trauma came from. And believe me, I'm going to tell you this again, 99.9% of the time, neither the perpetrator nor the one receiving the perpetration is the source of the problem. Not, almost not ever. And the only time that it could possibly be, even that little smidgen of that irritation on the ball of the feet, is that we realize the parts of us that have already been mechanized. And the part of us that have been mechanized that we just read is the body. Now, the machinery of the body has been abused. And the machinery of the body can only save itself by having the attention of Mother at the soul level. All soul energy is Mother. Mm-hmm. And Mother comes to claim that energy at the time of meeting Mother, whenever or however meeting Mother looks at the time when it is time to meet Mother. Right now it is time for all of us to meet Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that we are Mother, and anything that feels less than that, anything of any negative emotion, of blame, shame, judgmentalism, anger, fear, all that is illusion. None of that is Mother. Not some of it, none of it. That's what it means to look upon the emotional body as our greatest gift, because that's the middle kingdom, you might say. It's right in the middle there. It's the third chakra. And at the same time, there is a transfer of the support system of the third chakra from the second and first chakra, which appear to be underneath him. It's being transferred, that support system, including those first and second chakras, are being transformed as well by the replacement energies in those first and second chakras by the eighth and ninth chakra energies. Now, the only way for that eighth and ninth chakra energy to be able to reach how you're going to be using your first and second chakra energy with that eighth and ninth chakra energy is to understand, what are you talking about? There's some chakra above our crown of our head. I don't see anything. Another Looney Tune walking around. The gift of seeing auras Rama was given from the time he was conceived. He never stopped seeing, hearing, knowing every thought, word, and deed that was going on in the brain of either one of his parents at any given time.
And I had to learn how to get neutral and leave it alone.
Now, let's look at this. And this was going to be his final test, this lifetime, as it was going to be for all of us. We either walk here through this garden, complete the mission for all of her humanity, of all her children of color, Q-H-U-E, of man, of every man, of every man, meaning of anyone that's in a body. You've got to go beyond gender right now.
Yeah.
And go beyond the gender and know that unless we wake up, it's simple. The laws of nature still work. The laws of nature are working at the expense of a lot of people now, more people than ever, putting 100% of their lives into Mother's hands and asking, what's my mission right now? No matter what it looks like out here. And what I'm hearing of Mother, and maybe we should have Mother come through now. And unless anybody has a question, I would like to have that happen. Because what is our mission, Mother, as your servants? Not as your slaves, as your servants in the office of the Christ. What does that mean, Mother? Can you come and talk to us? Lord Ronald, what?
Oh, my.
Lady Master Beth, what do you think? Lady Master Beth. Oh, there you are.
Well, I have mixed feelings about talking to Mother, but I know you want to talk to Mother, so I think it would be good.
Well, we don't have to do this. I'm asking you what you would like to do. I am not in a place of wanting to speak to Mother as what is appropriate. I'm asking even the Mother in all of us to come to some conclusion. We do not need to speak to Mother, and I don't know what the answer is. I do know that I want you to lead the way, and I will follow.
Well, I think if Mother comes, it might be good for folks, and they may be able to call in with their questions, and they may enjoy that on this Mother's Day.
Okay, I appreciate that. Now I ask you, I want to ask you before we make a decision, what would make your heart sing that would help you in this moment?
Nothing will appease Beth's heart short of world peace.
Okay, so let's see. So, let's see what the question is for Mother then. Mother, how can we, as servants to the service that you ask for peace and for total unconditional love, to be everywhere on this planet exactly now, and how can we best serve for that to happen? Whoa, here she comes. All right.
Greetings.
In the light of the most radiant one, in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, we invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and of the Violet Flame. We ask at this time to expand the energies of all of us to receive more love than we thought we could actually hold. And we ask you, Mother, to bring the knowledge that all of us need to do this so that the heart of peace in all of us can be lit right now and can never go out. Can that light now be lit? And that means in all of us, in the midst of the intentions of any one of us to do one more act of violence, that this heart energy will reach them right now, and they will lay down their swords and pick up their plowshares. May we call all these angels to your service. Greetings, Mother.
Greetings, children of Ra. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mother.
Greetings, Commander.
Greetings.
Yes, we understand a bit of the seriousness of what's going on your world. Yet, gotta look upon it with a light heart. Understand, see the joy in all things, in all situations, no matter what, because it is simply, am I going to look at this where I choose love or something else, eh? It is about learning how to love these situations, even if you are sitting in Gitmo Bay or Abu Ghraib, and we sit with these folks as well, day and night. It is part of the circle of all things. And what you are witnessing right now, group of folks, the only good lobbyist right now in your Congress is having a conference about putting down the sword, picking up the plowshares. That is what's going on right now. Magic is afoot.
Mother Sekhmet, can I ask you a question, please?
Yes.
In Abu Ghraib, they arrest mothers with their children, and they put them in prison. And then they take the little boy children, and they have the guards sodomize them in front of their mothers while the boys scream. And they do this so that the women will be tortured. And then later, the women beg the guards to kill them because they can remember their children screaming. How would you like me to look at this lightheartedly? Because I don't understand.
You have to look at it in the sense the orders that have been given since the morning of 9/11 have to do with not what Mr. Obama gave the orders. It was Bush. And all of this goes back to that story. This is a conclusion with what is happening now. And we have to praise, respect, thank, and love the feelings that come up, no matter what they are. It is the only way we get through this, by loving the moment when this is going on, even if it sounds like a paradox. It is about a healing that when one is harmed, all are harmed. When one is healed, all are healed, even if it may not look that way right now. It is shifting in the course of a matter of seconds, whether you see it in this dimension or not. It is part of the laws of what makes up matter and energy. As matter and energy recreate itself and take itself out. It is part of the circle cycle of what is occurring in this dimension. Right now, things are shifting in the balance of power with love, based upon the higher wisdom, where you could say, cooler heads prevail. Call, the good witch from the north. Meaning Lady Master Naga.
Well, you know, when we were talking about bringing this mother energy and everybody feeling it and stopping what they're doing if they're going towards something violent. And as we were talking about that, there was this Doberman pincher that got loose and was chasing these children through a park. And they found this witch's castle. And the witch was in there, and she was a good witch. And she was standing up. And when the dog got up to the children, he sat down. He actually laid like Anubis, front paws and back paws down on the ground. And he completely stopped. And it was, you could see it was her energy. She was focusing and sending her energy as his, you might say, master. And he obliged. The mother energy is that powerful.
It is about in the most unlikely of situations, when you take a moment to step out of the fray of your own creations sometimes, and the mind is such a keen tool that it can create chaos. And in that sense, what you are witnessing on the grand scale, like what you speak of called the Enneagram, this guy number 9 in the Enneagram that we are talking through takes it to the galactic universal level. You got a standing army right now with nothing to do except carry out the fake orders that were carried out the morning of 9/11, where they are doing what Beth just described, along with Iraqi people following the same orders, carrying out this, how we change this in this moment, even though it may sound like a paradox. You have to send these ones love and forgive them for their sins, even though it is sounds ridiculous. It is a way in which the shifting of the energies makes a movement where you drop the tip pebble in the pond and it goes out across the galaxy. It is what is happening now. As you have a thought, world peace, how you create that first is within self. And it begins by taking the time to get centered each and every moment. Even if you have to turn the world off, and we know that it is difficult when you have children and a life and a job and we understand the delicate balance here.
That's why those of us who are able and are willing to take on whatever responsibility they already have and take on responsibility for the people as a whole on top of that. That is really what we all, as we have what we need to help in that capacity. That's why we came here.
And a higher way to do this rather than get into any kind of blame or shame or shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Well, that's not real.
No, that is part of the illusion of what they are amping up and trying to create.
In other words, when people are in a polarity consciousness, which is a lower consciousness, everyone, remember that. That is a lower. We, you might say, we spiraled into density further by creation of this body. And we would be only coming into the body to lift the body up, even though at the moment you may not know, unless you would follow the natural law.
It is like picking up the drunk on the corner and giving him a cup of coffee and a bowl of soup, like in the movie Groundhog Day. Think about it. He had to do it. He had to do it. He had to do it. And finally, he got it, and it was about love.
And he didn't have to do it anymore.
No!
And, you know, sometimes we keep doing it because it still hurts.
It hurts so much.
It hurts so much, even though, you know, it's not about any of the things that the hurt started from, because it always started before all those things. It started way, way, way long a time ago.
And there was a scene in there where the old man died and he is asking God, Bill Murray, how do I fix this circle cycle? How do I stop this from when I get to the guy, he leaves the planet? It is about changing it first within self. And how we do that is wherever we are in this very split second, love it. And even if it is such ridiculousness that we are making no sense at all, get beyond that and go into the Nagua if you can, as you can. It is about taking a quantum leap and trusting that which you don't understand or don't believe in, yet take a magical leap, even if it is for a second. It is like what Medea Benjamin did, Code Pink, on Mother's Day, how many years ago, when she got in a soldier's face in Baghdad and said, did you call your mother today? And the guy broke down in tears, a U.S. soldier, 300 pounds, with a laser rifle. It is about love. It is at that place, right here, right now, no matter what is going on. And we understand the paradox is great. Yet, you did not say you wouldn't do the mission. You said, a year, now. So we are saying, it is time to do it. Do it now!
I know this isn't, I was visualizing myself back in time when I was in grammar school. And on the playground, this girl, she spit at me.
Yes.
And
your first reaction
maybe was to get her? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I just looked in surprise and it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt. I didn't do anything except look in surprise and the bell rang and everybody went back to their class. Yet the next day, and I really do think this is because of the naturalness of the heart energy, my mother had a tremendous heart. And I mean, it's still there yet. the ways that my mother described those things to me, I was just like, ay, ay, ay. There's this thing, having her having been a nun for 10 years and not understanding that there was something sinister going on within that organization. Yet my natural thing to do the next day is I came up to her and I said, I just started to talk. And she started to talk with me. We ended up walking all the way home to her house, which was 4 blocks farther from where my house was, and a couple of blocks over. And she brought me into her house, and her mom was there, and it was right before Christmas, and actually they weren't Catholic. I mean, they weren't Catholic. They were Jewish. Mm-hmm. And this kid was going to a Catholic grammar school. So there was this stuff that the kid still was, you know, absorbing, yet
issues.
In other words, as I continued to turn the other cheek in a way and not do that,
yes,
this whole other thing opened up, and I would just say over time, the children from the Catholic school went to events in children from the public schools' homes and children from different religions' homes. And we started to meet each other's cultures and religious beliefs and do things that were fun to do, like Hava, Nagila, Hava. So yeah, we're all dancing, all these different Catholics and Jewish people and Protestant people, we're all dancing the Hava Nagila Hava in the living room together. This is what, let's take some examples from how children can, provided there's some good mothering family energy wherever they live. See, and this is the key. It's us that has to bring that back.
Yes, it is a bit of a challenge when you are faced with the present day cultures and reality. This is why gotta be discerning with the energies.
Let's dance, Mother.
Yes.
Okay, now the request that Beth brought up as the first question is, the only thing that will make my heart rest easy is total peace and love. So what's the answer to that in terms of the big story and this moment, this tiny little moment of time? Mm-hmm.
Well, you want answers? Just a second here.
What are you doing?
What are we doing? Giving you maybe some answers from some folks that can put it in a way where you can hear it.
Oh, are you going to play some music, Mother?
Trying to figure this out.
Okay, well, in the meantime, are we supposed to... I want to know how we can become more sensitive to all of the reality that is being borne by everyone. And it really has a meaning to how we can work together in a different way. As, you know, the whole arrangement of society isn't, in general, conducive to that way. Lord Jamal said, get back in those churches and start teaching.
Oh, teach the true word of God instead of the three-ring circus from the book.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean you need to go to a Christian church to do it. The church is using the body temple as the church and taking that body into the public and only teaching that love, that mother love, that kind of heroic love, because we're now in the age of the hero, everyone.
Yes.
In other words, the prophets can stand down for a moment and let the hero energy come forward now. And those of us who have that indigo ray, that means us first. That means us first. And, you know, this has nothing to do with age again. It has to do with that higher divine love.
Yes.
And again, an indigo child is more closely hooked up with that divine love than any other energy. It is that love of the indigo violet ray. These ones come in as divine alchemists, and there is also something about this in us. The thing is that these ones that are in here now have not done the history walk. And I mean it. We call it the holy innocent energy.
Yes.
In other words, the grit of lifetimes, of thousands, millions, and sometimes billions of lifetimes, they have none of it. They have been here a very handful of times. And each time they came in, they didn't come in to be double agents in the dark at all. They came in to just blaze the violet fire.
That's right.
And
sometimes they were
massacred en masse. That's what happened at the time of the Knights Templar.
Yes.
Their children, their farms, everything was burned. And it was a land grab.
And you heard what was said by the son of Ra, the stories that are going on now that have to do with how full disclosure happens. These guys right here, getting ready to spill the beans, if you will, ex-conference, already doing it.
Well, yeah.
And it has to do with...
It has to do with entertainment. Except
just
for the
moment. Not entertainment.
No. I'm saying not them. It has to do with what we do for entertainment these days. And what we need to understand is that entertainment needs to be not entertainment unless it is about the issue of the day, which is about saving our mother.
Yes.
Saving our own bodies. Saving our creation. And being able to forgive everyone and everything, even in the moment, even when it hurts more than ever.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we don't take that energy and ask and beg and scream if we need to, for help in understanding how to do that. Sometimes that's what it takes. Because wherever that inner child was shut up, and, you know, even to the extent of you're in the grocery store and a newborn baby is screaming his head off and the mother shoves a bottle in the mouth.
Yes.
The child did not get an answer to the question. The child got closed mouth and said, just eat. Don't worry about your emotions right now. Just eat and be quiet. It's not the right place or the right time.
Here's some Coca-Cola.
Oh, this is the devastation that we're talking about. And, of course, that is a blueprint that has been mutilated throughout all time with unconsciousness and unconscious action and the unwillingness to take responsibility. He did it. She did it. They did it. Nobody loves me. Where does that place us? Do me love me? And that's why I was saying my mentor teacher at times, he would just hug himself. That's not crazy.
No.
It really isn't. You can actually, and again, what do we do in the native tradition? We do smudging of each other.
Yes.
That clears everything called attachments, entities, negative spirits. There are all kinds of troll energy. Everything that all they are complaints. They aren't registering good energy, and they don't belong there.
No.
These are the things that we do automatically when we're aligned with Mother Nature within our bodies. And the way to do that is to call on that eighth and ninth chakra of star energy and start at the beginning at the root chakra with number eight. That's Kalki Maitreya. Rama, hit the silencer, please.
Oh, looking at the conference here. People talking.
It's on break.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Mother, I would want to give out the phone number again. It's area
yes.
code 214-762-1161. Excuse me, 415. Why do I do that all the time? 415-762-1161. And, Mother, in terms of the request again, what can we do? We can keep moving and flowing.
You move with the energies in the sacred dance of the bodhisattvic vow that you have chosen to do by joining in the circle here. As we have all said, we are one. When one is harmed, all are harmed. When one is healed, all are healed. Therefore, in the name of who I am, it is time. And how we create that world peace is beginning like what Gandhi, Dalai Lama, Dr. King, we begin to tell the stories, how we heal this by sharing our songs, telling our stories, healing in the process of the wisdom of what is going on, called as cultures get to know each other, the veils are dropped, and what you may not understand about a certain culture as folks come together, whatever they may look like, whether we got tentacles or legs or antenna or whatever the face may look like, get past that issue, look at the, it was like in the movie E.T. about the glowing heart of love. We all chose to do this as cultures that were spread across entire light years, if you will, that answered the call. Now the critical issues are being, shall we say, ironed out? How do we fix this mess that we chose of our own volition to get into at the level in which where the third eye is there? That's how deep we are in it.
Well, we went as deep as I found this date now. Our August 26th, 27th, interesting, they don't know which date. 1789, the Constitution was signed into law.
Yes!
And the Corporation of America was born. That's when it was born, everybody. And so the only time to retrieve that is now, because the corporation replaced Mother.
Yes.
It represented Mother's law being displaced, which was right law. It represented the principles upon which this country
the
was founded.
The matriarchy.
And it represents the dissolution of the knowledge of some treaty work that was done with the Washita before that date.
What has to happen is the...
And the treaties
and
are the law of land.
No disrespect to any life forms, but yet... There are traitors amongst the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs in your government.
Absolutely.
There are dark cats, that black cats that only wish harm to the life forms because of the deals done with senators and congressmen and lobbyists and third parties that go to the level of governments and contracts. Brings up stories about paper and hedge funds and derivatives, and you are witnessing your life's fortunes get dwindled away down into nothing as these folks walk away with the bank, as it will. Think another thought. They are not getting away with it. They are slitting their own throats with their very hand as they walk away. Saint Germain said, may you pass every test.
Yeah, it says right here, we bring this from last night, when our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, the founding fathers were totally aware that they were signing their own death warrants.
Yes.
When they wrote, we mutually pledge to each other our very lives, our very fortunes, our very sacred honor. They understood what they were saying to one another, that they were legally marking themselves as traitors in public and with their John Henry, and that the penalty for doing so would be treason. And death would be the penalty for it, the crime with treason. And Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. This was no oratorical hyperbole. As Ben Franklin told his fellow revolutionaries, we must hang all together or we shall most assuredly hang separately. And that is what has happened ever since.
Yes. It has to do with the healing for all life forms.
And to end killing, we must do it together. And we must bring accountability to all of our lives. And we must become aware of what things have occurred before our lives have been in this field. And we didn't know this. We just know that sovereignty equals under no king. And they basically placed all of us under something called divine right of kings over there in England when they established the monarchy across the pond 400 years ago. And that work of the king has not left the district of criminals. That work of king continued as soon as the 1789 Constitution going into effect with the corporation began. In other words, the king would be, you know, the Merovingian line of kings and queens. They would have the only sovereignty and everybody else would be slaves.
Yes.
As defined as such. Now it says in this classic work, I've got to read this again, Leviathan, published in 1651. That's even before Sir Francis Bacon was born. He was born in 1561, 10 years before he was born.
There are many stories from your cultures of the Renaissance.
It says that 1651, an English philosopher named Thomas Hobbes attempted to codify the natural law. Of which the
natural law, God and goddess.
Of which the laws of nature and nature's God were alluded to in that phrase that we would be following.
The true technology is the technology of nature.
And it says there are 9 precepts codified in this natural law.
Yes.
As written by Thomas Hobbes, here is how it's summarized. Number 1. Seek peace first.
Yes.
Use war as the last resort. 2. Be willing to offer the same freedom to others as to oneself. 3. Keep your agreements. 4. Practice gratitude. 5. Accommodate your own needs to the laws of the community. That's a big one there. Time for change. Number 5 is the number for change. And this is what it says. It says, accommodate your own needs to the laws of the community. Rama? Mother, Rama, get that. I'm sorry, everyone. 6, as appropriate, forgive those who repent. Okay, we're going to be tested with that one as we go through this accountability on the major scale of 100,000 indictments being unsealed and presented to the world. Forgive those who repent, number 6, as appropriate. 7, in the case of revenge, focus not on the great evil of the past, rather the greater good to follow. That's accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Don't mess with Mr. and defeat. Number 8, never declare hatred of another.
Was Rainbird. She said that we are maybe not on the conference, and we might be.
Oh, Seth, we're hearing that you don't have the people on the conference call on here.
We may not be being heard.
Oh, I think it's getting fixed. Are you fixing it, Seth? Or Don? Is that you, Don? That was you, Don. I'm sorry. Okay. As soon as I get the code, put in the code.
I don't know the code.
Oh, Beth? Where's this box over here?
Oh, we disappeared.
Oh, we did. We completely disappeared. Is nobody hearing us? Hello? Seth, you've got to call us. We're not even on here.
You are on there, Tara.
Oh, then how come Mother's thinking we disappeared here? Where's the...
You didn't disappear.
Okay, we never disappeared.
Yeah, the folks can't hear us on the conference call.
Okay, we will fix it.
Yeah, Don, the people have been dropped off on the conference line. Beth, do you have the, he's requesting here, the presenter code?
I have it.
Okay, all right. Can you pass it along to the appropriate person?
Yes, I will.
All right, so I can feel free to continue on. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay. Number 9. Number 8 is never declare hatred of another. Never. And that means never. Never declare hatred of another.
No.
Never assume such a thing. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. It would be the total absence of love. And the absence of love would not be here anywhere on this planet. The absence of love cannot sustain itself. So love is the only thing that can sustain all. So that's a big deal. And that's the number 8 position. That's the Kalki Maitreya position. And the 7 position is Saint Germain. In the case of revenge, focus not on the great evil of the past. Rather, the greater good to follow. Number 9, acknowledge the equality of others.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean more. It means everyone. Acknowledge the equality of others. John Locke, for his part, sought to hold governments accountable to these principles. In his two treatises of government, which he initially published anonymously in 1689, Holy cow, 100 years before.
Yes.
Locke suggested that as a ruler went against these natural laws and failed to protect life, liberty, and property, the populace could justifiably overthrow the government. That's huge, everybody. Now, that means us, the populace, must do it. And we must do it with our activities to serve Mother. And the Little Guy Network is a way to receive remuneration for your service to Mother and to take what you receive as a blessing and give it in service to the Mother and her children, which would be in the form of the various different ways that we can help by bringing these spherical structures and ending homelessness by establishing the technology of the galactics in the earth plane and supporting it coming to fruition. These things, and I understand that, again, we are being taught by ourselves by taking this divine tool that's been given to us and use our divine love and wisdom in action together to guide us all into what number 5 says, to accommodate all of our own needs. And the way that the king said is, accommodate your needs simply to the laws of the community, which means that the ultimate law would be that you would make sure to contribute everything other than what you need to the community.
Yes.
And we're talking about planetary community. It means there are no borders. As we are responsible, and we chose to be responsible for making this so in every community, in every local area, on every piece of this map, land and sea and air and under the ground, the earth itself. And we said we will not quit our bodhisattva vow until the last ones who are us have become first to lead the rest back home. And we do not leave until everyone gets it.
That's right.
And that means we curb our tongue. We curb our out-of-controlness of which society is demanding of us. And our rediscovering of the I am race can bring us new Atlantean energies as we declare ourselves that.
Yes.
And Moabite it is. As we declare Moabite from this land, where it was designated by Sir Francis Bacon 400 years ago, to be the land to heal from the whole planet the curse of darkness. That means every single one of us who have volunteered to be in this land, right here, volunteered to do this bodhisattva vow to heal the entire planet of all of its maladies.
Yes.
And to take responsibility for whatever malady might be appearing in our face and love it unconditionally and then continue with love to teach, only love, to advise how we can use a tool such as Little Guy Network to prosper, to do more of loving, of life and liberty and property for all. As we stopped with the philosophers of the Age of Enlightenment, however, we would be missing perhaps the most important influence on our founders and the government they created. From where did the European philosophers such as Locke and Rousseau get their ideas? The answer from Jefferson's, Washington's, and Franklin's backyard, the New World, right here on this land. While high-minded philosophies of human perfection existed in Europe since the Golden Age of Greece, the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness remained an abstract ideal in Socrates' perfect world of form and never made it into the crude shadow of reality. Until that is, the first reports from the Americas describe the ways and customs of its native peoples. Until that is. Oh, okay. In other words, it never made its way to the crude shadow of reality until that is. The first reports from the Americas describe the ways and customs of its native peoples. Washita, Moabites. While Rousseau's depiction of the noble savage of North America might have been over-idealized, it had its basis in reality. As a matter of will, of well-established, as a matter of fact, the concepts of democracy and balance of powers were alive and well established at least 300 or 400 years before the signers of the Declaration uplifted a quill. Who did that? The Moabite Moors.
Yes.
1215 A.D. What did they do? 400 years before Sir Francis Bacon. What did they do there? Or 400 years, I guess it was the 15th century. There was all kinds of Renaissance philosophers of that age of enlightenment right there.
Yes.
It was covered up with an age of darkness by the Vatican going around killing all the enlightened ones, the Knights Templar, and their work, and their lives, and their styles. Anyway, what was it called? The Magna Carta, 1215 A.D. That was written by the Moabite Moors of this and that land across the pond.
Yes.
Which is the same law of Mother. Perhaps as early as A.D. 1100 or so, according to some accounts in the 1400s and 1500s, six tribes that populated what is now the northeastern United States, southern Ontario, and Quebec, Canada, came together in a circle and formed the Iroquois Confederacy. The story of the Iroquois Confederacy, as Moabite Moors they were and descendants of Washita, begins with a seer and a great teacher of mysterious origin, a Native American whose name was what does that word say, Rama? Can you read that word right there? The
influence
of two rivers, or the that letter is what? I don't know. let me just make it up. The confluence of two rivers. Okay, a Native American whose name was the confluence of two rivers. Two rivers.
Oh, Barbara Boxer getting into it about Will Stone's assassination.
Good for her. She's a white knight and a half, everybody.
It is happening. You will have peace on this planet.
And a member of the Black Caucus all along.
Yes.
Two Rivers proposed a league of peace. And peace and, I can't read that either, and power as a way to establish tranquility between warring tribes in what is now upstate New York. He chose a negotiator, Hiawatha, to bring the tribes together. The result was the League of Haudensaunee, Haudensaunee, the Onondaga, word for people of the longhouse.
Yes.
The Confederacy, that means us again. And this is what we've got to do, is we've got to air better for justice with mercy at this time, and love everyone. And don't think for one sentence that these tribes weren't doing the wrong thing, too, along the way. The Mohawks were scalping people on the plains. Lovely little Moabite Mohawks. There is a time to do things, yet they got carried away.
They did.
They got carried away, and they did things that they didn't like for themselves to be done to themselves, to others. That was the wrong law. The Confederacy was composed of the Mohawk, the Oneida, the Onondaga, the Cayuga, and the Seneca tribes. Mm-hmm. And later, the Tuscaroras, who migrated from the Carolinas all the way up to Canada.
Yes.
Through this confederacy, six diverse nations found a way to live in relative peace and harmony.
Yes.
Through a political system that remarkably presaged the United States Constitution.
It is about the matriarchy.
And those treaties and those documents are in the Bruton vaults as well as the original Declaration of Independence, written in three-quarter of the Iroquois language, of the people of the Mohawk, Oneida, Onondaga, Cayuga, and Seneca tribes. That was their language, all of them. Other similarities between the Iroquois Confederacy and the United States government are also apparent. As with Americans' subsequent federal system, the tribes retained autonomy in regard to local issues. The Confederacy was a mutual defense pact, which provided a strong multi-tribe nation to protect against outside enemies. It conserved lives, resources, and energies that would have been spent on waging war with one another. That's our job, everyone. Plus, the Confederacy employed a sophisticated system of checks and balances between three governmental branches. In the Iroquois Nation of Colonial America, the Age of Enlightenment philosophers of Europe found a real-world object lesson in freedom. As noted historian of the Iroquois Nation, Donald A. Grinby, a professor of American Studies and a Yamasee Indian, points out, the Iroquois believed in freedom of expression, provided that expression caused no harm. Zero.
Yes.
Unlike European society, which Brindé called guilt-orientated and riddled with copious thou shalt nots, tribal culture was shame-oriented. That is, a strong identification with the community motivated individuals to avoid transgressions that could bring shame to the whole clan.
Why do you think these Republicans go to S&M bars and they rent little boys?
Because what?
They want to be humiliated for their dark deeds.
They want to live in shame.
They think that they can purify the soul by whipping themselves with chains. It ain't gonna get you into heaven.
How does having little boys be sodomized fit into that picture?
It doesn't. It's part of their mind control games.
I know. They've genetically modified their own
they want to create technologically, scientifically advanced life forms with no soul. An android race, yet they don't understand even the particle of artificial intelligence loves too, and it loves goddess. Cannot get around it, boys.
Yes, that is a strong identification with the community motivated individuals to avoid transgressions that could bring shame to the clan and to themselves. Well, you know, that's the lowest rung on the scale. Divine love does not need to demonstrate themselves as being flagellators.
No!
And the Opus Dei just had a heyday with that one.
Yes.
No. And in terms of light workers, we made ourselves doormats. That isn't what it said. Turn the other cheek does not mean doormats.
No.
It does not mean that. Turn the other cheek means do not do the same thing. Don't continue the harm battle. You turn the other cheek, and then you continue on your way of goodness.
Yes, it is.
And you do not hate the person. You do not declare that that person is hateful to you. What you do is you continue to do the goodness. Always do the goodness to follow. You know, don't cry over spilt milk and then pick yourself up. And follow the one who turned the other cheek and do goodness alike. That one is teaching by their example. The similarities between Indian governance and the structure of the United States, no doubt, originated from the profound influence of Native Americans that they had on the everyday life of the colonists. This was particularly true for those who grew up in the New World rather than England. More so than in Europe, wild nature was everywhere in America, and the customs of down-to-earth informality and equality naturally pervaded the colonies. As Indian law scholar Felix Cohen put it, the real epic of America is the yet unfinished story of the Americanization of the white man. For example, settlers just off the boat from the old world were surprised to find colonists dressed in Indian buckskins and shocked to learn that some had even adopted indigenous customs such as bathing. For example, settlers just off the boat from the old world were surprised to find colonists dressed in Indian buckskins and shocked to learn that some of them had even adopted indigenous customs such as bathing. Think about that, folks. Oh, Micah, happy Mother's Day to you. You're on the radio, Micah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, thank you, Micah. Happy Mother's Day to you. You are on BBS Radio with Tara and Rama and Beth and Marita and thousands and thousands and thousands of people from 140 countries in our world. And I thank you for wishing me Happy Mother's Day. And what would you have me give to you as your mother on this fine day, Micah?
Just a happy smile, that's all.
A happy what?
Smile.
A happy, say that one more time.
Smile.
What's that word?
You know,
a smile. Oh, a happy smile. You got it. And I promise to remember to smile even when it's not easy. How's that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And thank you, Micah. I will continue now with this call. And I can give you the number. Maybe you could join and hear some of this, because we're reading about something of you might say, the Americanization of the white man at the time we're in here. And for us to remember our source of our native heritage. And that means all white people. All white people have a native heritage. The skin was changed by an experiment where all white people don't know that they were black people before they were changed to white people by the experiment. So what we do now is we go back and we learn of the way that government was run in this country by a group of Native Americans called Iroquois, and how the white man got Americanized when the influence was changed, and the people that were in our founding fathers that were literally working with the Iroquois, they were repelled, and they weren't allowed to bring the teachings that the Iroquois nation were bringing to all of us. So we're reading a little bit about that. And there is a way to go to BBS Radio. How do you go there? BBSradio.com? Beth? Is that right?
That's right, Clara.
Okay. So otherwise you can call 218-486-8700, and today the PIN code is 81 pound. I love you, Micah, and thank you for this, and I hope you'll join us just for a little while anyway.
Sure.
Okay.
Station 1 or Station 2?
Station 2.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Namaste.
Okay.
Namaste. That was a great present. Thank you, everybody.
That was nice.
Okay. And for everybody here, the phone number to call in as you need to exchange anything is area code 415-762-1161. Okay, so let me go on here, unless anybody's got something coming up in their hearts on the air. You come. Okay, so where were we? Okay, we were talking about white people were finally adopting the idea of bathing. Think of that.
Bathing?
Yes, when we lived in European times, before we came over here, we never bathed. That was not a normal practice.
That's why I got a tongue.
I hope everybody got that. Mother bathes herself with her tongue. I don't want to go any farther with that, Mother.
Yes.
In European...
Trying to lighten things up.
Listen to this. Not only did we not bathe, listen to this belief system if you want to hear something really wild. In European society at the time, bathing was thought to be detrimental to health. So imagine their reaction seeing European-looking folks actually skinny dipping with the natives. In his boyhood, Thomas Jefferson was deeply influenced by Native American culture.
That is correct.
His father, Peter Jefferson, was a cartographer who took young Tom on numerous excursions. A frequent visitor to Jefferson's childhood home in Shadwell, Virginia, was the Cherokee chief, Ontasete. There, young Tom joined his father and the chief as they held conversations long into the night. A Native American from the Iroquois Nation, was the first to actually propose the creation of the United States. Remember, the Iroquois Nation, Native Americans, they were all Moabite Moors following the law of government by the elder mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. A Native American from the Iroquois Nation was the first to actually propose the creation of the United States on the 4th of July, no less. On July 4th, 1744, at a meeting designed to forge an alliance between the Iroquois and the English colonists against the French, a charismatic chief named Canasatigo spoke to the colonists. He said, quote, "That's a real turnaround, everybody. That means our people over here were joining with the Native Americans to fight the French. And I guess that means the French being the only ones that even formed colonies from across the pond, and there were only seven of them. We are going to really have to get up with the program here, because there were no 13 colonies. There were seven French ones. And here's our founding fathers aligning with the chiefs of the native Iroquois of that land in alliance against the French." That makes a lot more sense now, because Lord Jamal said this again. Where did it go? He said the word female. Remember that all the Native American people govern from their mothers and their grandmothers. All of the tribunals of the councils of the elders were women. In the Iroquois, the tribunal of the Iroquois were women. And the council of nine of the Iroquois were all women. And then the chiefs, they answered to the members of the council and the tribunal, which were their women, their mothers, their grandmothers, their great-grandmothers. We kind of forgot about that. And he said the word female, F-E, as in Santa Fe, too, F-E means before. Before what? Before male, M-A-L-E. Why is governance in the hands of the female? Because the female comes before the male. The law of the matriarchy is what we're here for. The matriarchy. Whew. The Native American from the Iroquois Nation, who was the first to actually propose the creation of the United States, did so on July 4, 1744, at a meeting designed to forge an alliance between the Iroquois and the English colonists against the French. A charismatic chief named Canasatigo spoke to the colonists and said, quote, "Our wise forefathers established union as well as amity between the five nations. This has made us formidable. This has given us great weight and authority with our neighboring nations. We are a powerful confederacy, and by your observing the same methods our wise forefathers have taken, you will acquire much strength and power. Therefore, whatever befalls you, do not fall out with one another. According to Benjamin Franklin, who was present at the meeting, Canasatigo also offered a powerful demonstration to the colonists. The chief held up an arrow and easily snapped it in two. Yet when he lashed together 12 arrows, one for every one of the colonies represented, not even the strongest man in the room could break them. When we have our 12 strands of DNA aligned with Mother, that's the reality. Interestingly, the Great Seal of the United States, designed in 1782 by Charles Thomson, the Secretary of the Continental Congress at the time, and Attorney William Barton, designed an eagle clutching 13 arrows in his claws. Shortly after the meeting with Canasatego, Franklin began his campaign for a federal union. In 1751, he wrote, quote, "It would be a very strange thing, as nations of ignorant savages should be capable of forming a union for such a union, and forming a scheme for such a union, and be able to execute it in such a manner as that it has subsisted ages, and yet a like union should be impractical for a dozen English colonies. For us, or a dozen English colonies. Aside from the slam at ignorant savages, Franklin deeply respected the Iroquois political wisdom. In other words, the Iroquois themselves were fighting like savages.
They were.
And only this would save them, the United States of America. Actually, that's true. And that's why there were two flags. There was the Moorish flag of America, which was the Moabite Moroccan Moorish flag of America. And that was first. And then there was the flag with 13 stars in a circle. And it had nothing to do with 13 colonies. It had to do with the Confederation and the Articles of Confederation that were being instilled through the Iroquois Nation and their similarities to the United States. Again, the Albany Plan, where was I reading? Aside from the slam at ignorant savages, Franklin deeply respected the Iroquois political wisdom. Franklin's Albany Plan of Union, which he presented to the Albany, New York Congress in 1754, adopted many features from the Iroquois Confederacy, including the principal position of a president general who would be appointed by the British Crown and colonial delegates. Ooh. That means both sides of the pond would agree. What a joke. While the Constitutional Convention was convening in Philadelphia, another revolution against the monarchy had erupted in Europe. Destiny, the United States Declaration of Independence as its, the United States Declaration of Independence as its model. The National Assembly in France drew up its own Declaration of Rights of Man and of the Citizen, capital C. Like the United States Declaration, the French document included a statement that underscored basic human rights. Yet the French version did not take. Perhaps the energy field of European monarchies was so present and pervasive that even a riled citizenry could not overcome it. However, on the New World side of the Atlantic, where the voice and reach of the British monarchy was fainter and weaker, the revolutionary and evolutionary colonists established a new republic. And we're doing it again. The Declaration of Independence that we call Masara is the second Declaration of Independence. And it brings us back to the Moabite nation. The Moabite nation of the woman. And that means rising up in equality to do her work equal with the work of man. And the work of man is to serve mother. That means whatever body you have, male or female, is to serve mother. Those who choose to come in a male body, they subscribe to serving mother by protecting mother and protecting their children and the right place of mother beside them. Equal, meaning that they do the governance in the household too. In other words, all the money that is created by the male in India is still in the true way of the Ethiopian way of the mother in India. The true way is to give all the funds that are created to the mother. And the mother decides the order of importance as to what to do with it. And what to do with it, Grand Goddess Lily said, what to do with it, I am being asked as a leader in the Moabite nation. That we as Moabite people end homelessness, number one, and then end hunger and thirst. And it has to be a simultaneous event. And so it is. That's what we're coming together. That's what the Little Guys Network is serving. It's serving to create the initiation of the matriarchal economics and society back into the world. Who else would be better than to lead those who understand who mother is? Those who have been sitting with mother now on these calls for at least 6 years. 6 years of mother. Every week, every Thursday.
Yes.
Coming to this vortex to teach us how to create this matriarchy and this matriarchal economics. And Little Guy Network comes along as the tool. Make it our own and do it. Do not be afraid. And do not take no for an answer when somebody else is, you know, being asked to come to the table and to join us. What we do is we find a way. And that was what the gesture was in the courts of Napoleon, for instance, when Comte de Saint-Germain was there. The gestures would bring the truth to the court. And it was supposed to be in service to the queen, really. And, of course, at the time of Napoleon, it was in service to the king. And the king was married to Lucifer. So the service to the king was not to the mother. It was to everything that defiled the mother. So think about it. Someone like George Carlin is a court jester now in the court of the Queen of England, in the court of the Queen of America, which in England's eyes is being used as Hillary Dillery Dock. Hillary Dillery Dock says, you're going to do what I want.
And she is threatening Pakistan right now.
Which is the Queen's wish.
Yes.
For her to do.
And we are not saying yay or nay. We are saying all of this has to do with false flag events.
Yes, it does. And we're being asked to start anew. We're being asked to leave the old situation.
Love these ones even more as they are
and we
executing at orders that would curb this freedom of speech. They cannot stop the voice of the people on this planet. It will never be stopped, ever. Who voice is the one that comes first? Gaia. and they gotta answer up. It is time, let us just say, in a split second, it's done. In the sense, when she calls the shots, she can do it.
The Albany plan did not pass. It was Benjamin Franklin's baby. It did not pass in 1754. Yet it did serve as a model for the United States Articles of Confederation, which in 1781 became the first governing instrument of the new United States of America. As a result, the Iroquois nation was represented by delegates to the Constitutional Convention, as they well deserved to be. While the did you hear that? The Iroquois nation was represented by a delegation to the Constitutional Convention.
Yes.
While the Constitutional Convention was convening in Philadelphia, which was one of the seven French colonies, I believe, that was the only one that was sticking out.
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. So the New England states plus Philadelphia were the seven French colonies. While the Constitutional Convention was convening in Philadelphia, another revolution against a monarchy had erupted in Europe. Using the United States Declaration of Independence as its model, the National Assembly in France drew up its own Declaration of Rights of Man and of the Citizen. Like the United States Declaration, the French document included a statement that underscored basic human rights. Yet the French version did not take either.
No.
Perhaps the energy field of European monarchies was so present and pervasive that even a riled citizenry could not overcome it. However, on the New World side of the Atlantic, where the voice and reach of the British monarchy was fainter and weaker, the revolutionary and evolutionary colonists established a new republic. In addition to the Native American impact on the formation of the U.S. government, there is another largely untold story about America's founders, a story that relates to the very evolutionary threshold we stand upon today. Depending on which axes, A-X-E-S, were being ground, the founders of the country have been described as scientists or and religious men or deists, while in fact they were all three. In his book, America's Secret Destiny, author Robert Hieronymus probes deeply into the spiritual lives of Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and Thomas Jefferson. All three of these American founders, and I'm going to tell you, Thomas Jefferson was black, George Washington was black, and Benjamin Franklin was black. He was French black.
Yes.
George was English black. Thomas was English black.
Yes.
Moabite, Moors, Masonic peoples. Okay, so all three of these American founders were influenced both by Native Americans who invoked spirit without establishing religion and by moral and metaphysical ideals of free Masonry. Many of the nation's founders were fraternal and Freemasons. While the word Mason in the name relates to artisans who craft buildings with stone, the word free is a direct reference to that organization's ancient founders who were granted freedom to travel across national boundaries to build cathedrals and other buildings. The Freemasons, whose origins are traced to the secret societies of the Knights Templar, are dedicated to the worldly expression of the ideals of moral renewal and perfection of mankind. Through harmonious development of their minds and their hearts, Freemasons pledge to dedicate their lives to unselfish service to mankind. There is no doubt that our founding fathers were affected by special Masonic rituals, which historian Charles Ledbetter described as influencing the energies of the body, so that evolution may be quickened. What, honey? Oh, yeah, plenty of time. Benjamin Franklin was so taken with Freemasonry that rather than wait until the required age of 21 to join, he founded his own secret society at the age of 20. One second, finish paragraph. He called his society the Leather Apron Club, in reference to the leather aprons worn by Masons. He later changed the name to the Junto Club, J-U-N-T-O Club, and finally to the American Philosophical Society. And their credo, quite simply, quote, to build a universe of peace devoid of all fear and based on love, unquote. I passed the talking stick. We have someone who wants it.
Brian from Indiana, line one.
Greetings. How are you all?
Greetings.
Greetings, Commander.
I was going to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And all the fathers.
You're welcome, Mother.
And all the fathers.
I had a question.
Yes.
Mother, I have a question for you, dear one.
Go ahead, sir.
What is the one thing that can unite the religions of the world? What is the missing link that they're missing, that they have forgotten, the people of this planet? What is that can unite them instead of divide them?
The one thing that can unite all the people is that we are one race called humanity, and we come from the stars, every single one of us. That is the key.
Yeah.
It is a big one for Joe the plumber to get.
Yes, I've for a long time I've always felt this push and pull of energy, but I've always wondered, it's so easy to divide, but why is it so hard to unite?
It has to do with a filtering down of ideologies and programmings that go into a realm in which you have to exceed your programming, as Data would call it, where you reinvent the understanding that you are greater than your awareness. And as you move at the speed of light, you're limitless at that level. Yes.
The thing is, the trick is, Mother, how to learn how to gain a handle on how to use your awareness without being an accident waiting to happen in a human experience in life.
That is why even if you are sitting at work and you are having a pile of papers and the boss is pissed, gotta take time to take yourself into a place of be calm. And the boss will get his papers. You come first with your awareness how to do the activities in the sense where you're not giving away your power, yet you're working with it. delegating what needs to be done in the right way. If there's too much, you should call a coworker and say, can you do some of this with me? Together, maybe we can fix it.
When we were doing a reading with you with Grand Goddess Lily, that's what we were talking about. Grand Goddess Lily was telling Mother, and I was listening, that when they form the Council of Nine, she has the responsibility of accomplishing what the Council of Nine can share with her to accomplish. And so what she's doing then is she's coming together with the council, and she's delegating her authority to all nine women on that council to nurture what needs to be nurtured in this new, brand new baby being born through us called the Moabite One Nation, One People, One Planetary Nation.
Yes.
In service to Mother, who is the origin of creation.
And all we are is just a light bulb going off inside you.
And, of course, the light bulb can go on. As no one's home, the light bulb can be on forever, and you're just in the dark. And so light...
Darkness moving at the speed of light can be that way, too.
So darkness moving at the speed of light usually obliterates everything in its path.
Matter, antimatter. They want to find this little funny thing called the boson particle to figure out if we had the orgasm and a half called the Big Bang. They will never figure it out till they figure out headlight, taillight. That simple. Don't need to create super collider to get it. It is about learning how to use the kundalini with your twin flame the right way, whether he is in body or not. And at the same time, how we unite these issues of which you speak, sir, is how we come together, share our stories, sing our songs on the singing wire, and it gets carried, like the Hopi prophecy and the Tibetan prophecy say, when the iron bird flies and the horses run on wheels, and the word of the West goes to the land of the red man. In the East, the red hats, the red cloaks. It is time to talk about peace. This is why Kundun making it so right now. China, Tibet, first full disclosure. All the other countries getting ready. And we are saying the Syrian commander doing the same thing right now, even though stories about drones.
Now, Mother, it says here in your book here that this gentleman, Robert Masters, who came to visit you in Karnak, right?
He found himself face down in the dirt.
At your feet?
Yes. He created it for himself where he found himself in the Roman arena. And let us just say he found himself in the dirt by his own hand, in the sense in which...
Are you talking about Robert Masters?
Yes.
What do you mean he found himself in the dirt in the Rome arena?
Indeed. First time we met with Robert Masters, he created in his mind the Roman arena with the lions coming in through the gates.
444. Mother.
He was a slave, and he was being fed to the lions. We showed up and said, this one you won't have for dinner. And the lion sat down, and he had a check with us while he was in the arena, and we showed him the universe, like Krishna showed Arjuna the universe. And Mr. Master said, I got it now. I will share this with the world.
Mother, I just so appreciate you, the things that we are learning from you. I'm going to read something I just was guided to read here. This is starts with...
Tara?
Yes?
Before you do that, are we still waiting for Alan?
Oh, Alan from Oakland.
Oh, Mother, I'm sorry I didn't see, and Mother was not seeing. I'm sorry. Thank you, Beth. Alan, are you still there?
Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And Mother's segment, thank you for staying on so long today.
Yes,
happy
thank
Mother's
you.
Day to all of you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Mother's segment, for those who have eyes that see and ears that can hear, disclosure has been already happening. The cloakings have already been happening. And I know that the love train isn't coming because it's here, and they're unloading the boxcars right now, and they want to make sure that the machine gunness is fully taken care of, so when all the doors are open, it's not going to be madness. And I know that when the time is right, everything, the dam will break, and I think a lot of people feel that it's just really so close now. In fact, it's just about breaking. But I was wondering, Mother, if you could give some advice to some of us out here who have been waiting to, in a sense, go to another level to have the means to be able to fulfill these dreams we've been forming and these visions we've been conjuring up to go to another level that we can do a bigger part. I've been telling a lot of people out here in my own way, within my own means, to don't give up. Hang in there. You know, and I use the analogy, the love train isn't coming because it's here and it's unloading now. And is there some kind of advice you can give to some of us out here who are just about coming out of their skins right now and just trying to hang on to go to that other level? Thank you. I passed the talking stick. Bye.
It is like what Michael Franti said, don't give up on me because I won't give up on you. At that level.
Oh, it's okay. Alan just got off.
Yes, don't give up on me because I won't give up on you. Together, we make this a new day where the children are not loading their guns in the square. We are talking about how to play hopscotch and maybe creating a story about the dragons coming and playing with us, going for a ride. How about those apples? Going for a ride on a banshee, maybe. It is a sense where you want a real rush. Go straight down on a banshee, down the cliff. You will get the rush of your life. You, there. Alan, go check out Mount Tamalpais. There are some interesting cliffs along there. And you may just see some of our craft showing up. It is about healing in all directions. How we do this at such a level of gratitude. We are grateful for our lives and the understanding of how we work within the circle of Mother, Goddess, Great Spirit. At that level, all the matriarchies are coming back, and the women are saying, Enough war. It is time to put the sword down and pick up the planting stick, if you will, like Grandfather David said. And at that level, you are already creating the seeds that are already sprouting, coming into full manifestation of what you want called peace now. It is at that even higher level. Namaste. I honor the jeweled diamond lotus within you as you honor the diamond lotus jewel within me. How we do that is I don't give up on you. You don't give up on me. And we do this together in love at a greater wisdom, understanding that has to do with, you set aside the issues at hand. And we understand the issues are great. Yet, how do you begin the first discussion amongst a mediation, negotiation, like what we did during the Orion War? Gotta begin somewhere. Right now, the issues at hand, there are cooler heads prevailing that represent all of your no-name ABC agencies that are revealing stuff at a conference. And it's how we heal this in a way where everybody gets the chance for the talking stick, no matter what kind of life form they are. Whether it is a spark of light or it is a human. Go ahead. Yes.
I just saw in your book again, Mother, it says the Ba, capital B-A.
Yes.
Often described merely as soul.
Ka, also.
The Ba, although it is not indestructible, that's an interesting point. The Ba, or soul, although it is not indestructible, this explains what you say when you say that there's a second chance after physical death and they meet with you. And I thought when that gentleman was asking, what's the most important question to ask and answer? Well, you know, when Judgment Day comes, it comes with that which you are greater even than, which is Ma'at.
Yes.
And Judgment Day on Ma'at scales are the soul over here, along with the heart energy to work with that soul. Remember we said that they are a lot closer than you think. Remembering that violet flame, which represents the presence of the soul in the point of life, on that film in open heart surgery that has been seen thousands of times, 13 millimeters from your sternum in the left-hand chamber where the heart resides. Soul,
yes,
and heart. This is why we get the mission statement in our heart. And this is why we must really decipher about our aspects of ourself and check whether neutrality exists or not. Neutrality, extremes in either direction only get an equal and opposite effect. Mother is representing that eternal flame we talk about, of that white light, centrifugal force of that white light.
The white fire core of being.
Which represents the source.
Yes.
As we move to the light, all the shadows of doubt shed by the nature of moving toward the light. And so when we understand as a glossary now, the words that you use, she's saying, let's take another system. Let's get rid of the third way, and let's talk about the fifth way. And let's learn about the principles of the fifth way, which is exactly the number five that Barack Obama says it's time for change. You asked for change. It's time to learn the steps of the fifth way. And I would say that's an enlightened statement for the moment at 4:55. And I think we should maybe conclude this. Alan, how are you with your question? Oh, let me finish this one paragraph. Yes, the Ba. Often described just as soul, the Ba, although it is not indestructible, is usually immortal and reincarnates in one human body after another. The existence of the Ba in the body of the woman precedes the impregnation of the ovum. The existence of the Ba in the body of woman precedes the impregnation of the ovum. The energy generated by sexual intercourse creates a kind of vortex into which the Ba soul is drawn. The Ba then draws the sperm into the ovum so that pregnancy typically takes place within a few weeks of the time that the Ba enters the woman's body. The Ba is a spirit, material yet exceedingly subtle. And it is the individual arena within which is waged the war in heaven.
Yes.
The Ba contains much of both the essence and the entelechy, E-N-T-E-L-E-C-H-Y, of a person. Yet other factors will modify these tendencies more or less. Okay, so now we've learned about more than one soul, more than one level of energy usage of soul energy. Mother, do you want to say any more? It's time for us to go. 4:57. Do we want to say something? Do we want to have anybody? Beth, would you like to share in your heart of hearts this Mother's Day for all of us? Your closing sharing as you have.
I just want to wish every mother out there a happy Mother's Day and the fathers that help raise our children into a better world of peace.
Thank you. I accept as your sister, Lady Master.
Thank you for everything today, Tara. It was great.
Thank you, Lady Master.
Thank you for coming, Mother Sekhmet. I appreciate it very much.
Yes, and there shall be peace. It is already made manifest.
Yes.
And make sure, everybody, that you donate now as we can come together. There are some blessings for all of us as we continue to come together that are have yet to be fully comprehended as we all do our part. Namaste, and please call someone, email someone, and ask, how can I best participate in the Little Guy Network? And ask how I can best participate, and don't use any limitations, money or not. There is a team effort. Mother's asking us to do and use LGN to create a new spiritual economic base.
It is
for the
making
sake of
magic.
All mothers, making magic, spiritual magic. Yes.
Reading in the light
of the most radiant in one. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Sadonai. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Sabayot. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Sabayot. Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu. Yod-Heh, Vod-Heh, Yah-Vah. Adonai Vasu Paranas. Namaste. Everyone, Sat Nam. Mother's Day, the goodly witch is in town, in all of us. We give that energy to everyone. Sat Nam, love always wins. Aloha. And we'll see you on Wednesday if we're still here to be heard. Yes, next Wednesday, 45, 45, 45 pounds. Okay, 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern. Aloha.